please rise. Our deputy clerk will lead us in the salute to our flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. You may be seated. Our clerk will now take the roll call.
Councilmember Watson.
Present.
Councilmember Hanson.
Here.
Councilmember Olson.
Here.
Councilmember Ingram.
Here.
Councilmember Mutler.
Here.
Councilmember Zimmerman.
Here.
Councilmember Goodrich.
Here. All present count for a good job, Council. So before we go to the public comment period, Councilperson Mutler has requested to speak before the body.
Thank you, Mayor. You did that to Sam, please. Council, staff, and public. Our Mayor, Gary Jensen, has correctly exhorted Council many times to, in his words, police our own in regards to our professional conduct as Council members. I believe it has been his desire that we live up to the standards that we have developed, adopted, and signed our name to in our Council Handbook of Ethics. I quote one sentence as it pertains to our relationship to the public. On page 2, I find this line. All citizens shall be handled with fairness, impartiality, and respect. In my personal view, and one I think may be shared by others, we too often fall short of this reasonable standard, and I feel that our last regular council meeting on May 4th, we perhaps reached a new low. So much so that one prominent citizen, a former attorney for the city of Bellingham, accustomed to hardball politics, said this on the Herald website under the article about the Ferndale gas tax May 7th. Quote, "Wow, I'm really surprised by the level of incivility demonstrated here. I expect more from my Ferndale neighbors. Not that I should really expect it after seeing how business owners were treated at the last council meeting, but I will try to convince myself that that was just a bad night for council." He continues, "Don't treat me or anyone like an idiot when we're addressing our elected officials. It might just be possible that the gas station owner knows a little more about his business than you do. Stop saying you don't believe him and go get your evidence to refute his statements. Argue the issue, not the person. It might also help to listen to the citizens talking to you. You just might learn something." And more from him about a level of class envy and underappreciation for business success in his town. He says, "Stop looking down on people because they have nice homes, secure incomes, and investments." And finally, he says, "As a resident of Ferndale, I have come to expect that the administration, the staff, and the council do their homework and fully justify the actions they take. I'm not convinced that the level of service I have come to expect in Ferndale happened in this instance. Moreover, given the vehement response to the slightest challenge from the audience to their decision, I am convinced that this decision did not receive the scrutiny it deserved. It was not your finest hour in any respect." Unquote. When council is rough and rude to one another, I don't like it. But I've accepted it to some degree as the cost of doing the business of politics. However, when we berate, accuse, put down, antagonize, disrespect, ignore, or call our citizens liars in open session without cause or evidence, we cross an unacceptable line. When we come across like we know somebody's business better than they do, we show great arrogance. When we lash out at people because they are simply trying to defend their business, their livelihood, we show human nature at its worst. And when we pry into the details and particular sales amounts of a businessman, we've crossed a professional ethic that we should not. Finally, I want the public to never fear or worry when they come to a council meeting and stand at this podium. Many do, sadly. It's scary, even without council acting like bullies. Oddly, one of my colleagues up here on the Herald blog, while opining about our last meeting, said that he felt that night, and I quote him, "abused by the voters, those who stepped forward that night." I scratched my head over that remark. I felt that every person who spoke at the last meeting did so with respect, clarity, and passion. I don't think any other member of that audience that night felt that those who spoke to us did so with anything less than deference and politeness. My head still spins over those remarks on the blog. No, the citizens of Ferndale generally speak to council with respect, and we need to do the same. My kids at home have a saying to me when they see their dad sometimes act rudely or disrespectful to their mother or to them. They'll come up to me and say, "Daddy, you need to go back to gentleman school." I think some of us up here might consider going back to gentleman school, too. No disrespect to Council Member Watson, who's always a gentle lady. That's all I have, Mayor, and thank you for giving me this time tonight.
Okay, next up is the public comment period. This was a confusing one. Is typically public comment is for people to come up to speak to council on anything that's not on tonight's agenda. The things that are on tonight's agenda, you'll get a chance to speak during the council meeting. But a little bit of clarification is that on the agenda is the reconsideration of the gas. So if you want to talk about reconsideration, that would be later. If you want an opinion just on the general of the gas tax, you could speak in our public comment period. So if you have an opinion of the gas tax in general, you could talk. So I know that sounds a little confusing. The reconsideration is a proposal brought forward by Councilperson Zimmerman to change that vote. So that's a little confusing. I hope you understand. If you have any questions, you can speak on your opinion of the gas tax, but not the reconsideration of the gas tax. That's not confusing to say. So anything that's not on tonight's agenda, you come forward to speak, your name and address, and we'll have a 3-minute time limit. So anyone who would like to speak with something that's not on tonight's agenda, I see a hand up back there, one over there. I see, okay. We'll go, Carol. I'll get you all, so don't worry about your hand up. We'll go until you're welcome.
Carol Burge, 5426 Nimbus Place, Ferndale. I just want to say I appreciate what you just said, John. It really hit home. And I just have one quote that I want to tell you. There are 750 billion people on Earth, and it just takes one person to ruin your day. That's all I have.
Thank you. Okay, I had back in the corner. Here, I think you were next. Ah, welcome, welcome.
Good evening, Council. Yvonne Goldsmith, 5840 Church Road. I want to thank the council members that hung up the baskets. There is nothing like coming into Ferndale and seeing those baskets. And pretty soon, overnight, we're going to blink and those baskets are going to be huge. So I want to give my thanks for that, and I want to give the thanks for everybody that ran for office again, even though you're contested, which I believe in. That's very good. And I want to thank you, Mr. Zimmerman, for the time you've put into our city. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, I had a third right there. Welcome.
Yep. Becky Carr, 2085 Main Street. I attended my first council meeting 2 weeks ago on May 6th to support the local gas stations and small businesses here in Ferndale, and I was amazed at the behavior of a few of the city council members' attitudes towards the citizens that came here to discuss an issue on the agenda or not. I understand that we not all agree on the issue at hand. That is politics, two sides discussing their position. But you can act responsibly and respectfully and discuss the issue while keeping the personal attacks and name-calling out of it. These citizens bravely come to these meetings to talk about an issue that are passionate about, and I'm just asking that you listen and discuss it with them and not attack them. These citizens that take the time to come down here and subject themselves to you probably make more of a difference in this community than those that don't take the time, and they deserve more respect than you are giving them. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Anyone else? Right there and then back there. So here and then you're next. I think that was you, Jean. Welcome.
Jessica Solom, 1988 Edgefield Drive in Bellingham, Washington. Council members, Mr. Mayor, I submitted an open letter to all of you that raised issues about whether and if Ferndale falls within the requirements of the law as far as levying the border gas tax, if the purpose of the law would be served by levying such a tax, and what data has been promulgated that would support the conclusion that the burden of this tax would fall on Canadian motorists as intended by the law and not on local residents and business owners. I was not at this last meeting, so I'm not as familiar with what was said or the tenor of how it was said as you all were. So I think I can come to this with perhaps more of a free mind and a fresh perspective. In my conclusion over the past week, I think that there are issues that could be raised by the local businesses as far as the legality of the law, whether it meets the purpose, and certainly on who would end up paying the law, whether it would be, or the tax, whether it be local businesses or local residents. And if this is more properly addressed as a reconsideration, I can return at that time or use the remainder of my 3 minutes to answer questions.
So any questions of this? Clerk has said you could ask questions. Councilperson Zimmerman?
Yeah, Jessica, I did receive your input, and I looked at it. It did raise a whole other issue about the term within. Are we within? So that will be an issue that I think that we should address at some point in time.
And in my research, I don't think that in regards to RCW 8247 that has ever been addressed. And I think primarily because the jurisdictions, Point Roberts, Snooksack, Blaine, and Sumas that have enacted this law are certainly entirely within the 10 miles. And in a similar interpretation, it might have different meaning, but I know if a judge were to stand in front of a court and say, you know, defendant, I want you to have finished your community service within a year, they would expect it to be completed within a year, not initiated within a year. And I think that that same argument could be applied to distance from the border within. In any event, I haven't found any information that shows that the majority of the taxable sales are to Canadians. What portion of those taxable sales are for gas, and what portion of that gas is purchased by Canadian motorists rather than local residents, which I think is the intent of the law.
Thank you. Any further questions for this person? Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Back there. Welcome.
Gene Goldsmith, 5840 Church Road, Ferndale. As a former elected official, I know it's really difficult to say no, because there's a lot of people that come, and everybody walks in your door or comes up and talks to you wants something. They may not need it, but they want it. I remember the stadium. The people said no. They came down to the legislators and smooth people and gave them baseballs autographed by Randy Johnson and Ken Griffey. And, man, they voted to spend $500 million on a want, not a need. We still owed over $200 million on the kingdom when we passed that bill. They're still paying for the kingdom, in case you don't know it. So make sure that you do the hard work of finding resources within the existing money that you have. Raising taxes is the easiest thing in the world. One of our local senators says we need a compromise and taxes should be on the table down in Olympia right now. They have $2 billion more dollars than they had last time, and he wants another $1.3 billion. There are some times that we have to say no. People in this community for the last 5 years are saying no to a lot of things that they want because of the economy. You need to look in existing revenues to find the needs, not just fund what people want. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? We're on a roll. We're doing good. No? Okay. Going once? Going twice? Okay, moving on the agenda. I take a motion to approve the consent agenda.
So moved.
Second. Moved and seconded. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries 7-0. Council, we're going to pull item C, the Boy Scout bat boxes. Somehow we had a miscommunication, and the Boy Scout is not here. So even though the need for bat boxes goes on, we will hear from at the next council meeting. Okay. Okay, next up is capital projects, and we'll hear from Katie Ratter. Welcome, Katie.
Thank you. Good evening, Council. We've got a pretty short list as far as updates go, because we'll be talking about both Vista and Thornton a little bit later. We did open bids for the Vista Drive project on May 14th. We've got that in front of you a little bit later to consider those bids for an award. We anticipate, if all goes well with the bid award, that we would actually start construction on the 17th of June. And one other thing that we plan on doing prior to the start of the construction, I've told you before that we've been trying to meet with all the property owners and adjacent businesses. We do want to have basically a community meeting prior to the construction start so that we can have community members. My 3 minutes up? So we have community members and business owners come in and meet the contractor and ask specific questions regarding their schedule and that sort of thing. So that's it for VISTA. Do you have any questions?
Councilperson Ingram?
Katie, could we invite them to the Public Works Open House at WIKU next Thursday night?
The contractor?
The business owners.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. Definitely. I'd give them like a special invitation, say come and talk to us, because Public Works will be there. And
yes, we do have a Public Works Open House. There's a lot of people in there. There's a little marketing opportunity next Thursday, this Thursday.
This
Thursday at 5 o'clock? 5 to 7 at WIKU.
This Thursday, 5 to 7, WIKU.
Yes.
Snacks are provided.
Come and eat.
Information about the project.
We're a fun group. You guys should come.
Did we mention the snacks?
There's snacks. Strawberry shortcake.
Mm.
Ooh.
Ooh. Ooh. See? All right. Any other questions?
Any questions on this project? Seeing none, move on.
All right. Thornton Road. Again, you'll be considering the bid award for that project. We opened bids, I believe, last week, if not the week before. Again, that's got a sensitive time frame as far as the school goes because it's adjacent to the grade school there. So we plan on having a June 17th start as well and getting that project wrapped up before the kids return for summer or from summer.
Councilperson Metzler?
Got too many streets in my head. On this particular project, are we doing two sidewalks? How much of a street are we doing there?
Thornton Road will be upgraded to, we won't have a center turn lane. There'll be two travel lanes, obviously, east and west, bike lanes or, you know, shoulders on either side, curb gutter and sidewalk.
On both sides.
On both sides. With a right turn lane heading school. East onto Vista. So Main Street is pretty much done. We've got some minor items, and one of those items is the less-than-smooth manholes there. I talked to the contractor today, and they will be addressing that, so that will be corrected. We have some other minor punch list items to do, and as far as the rest of Main Street, we've got those beautiful planter strips along the side of the road. We're going to wait until fall. We're working with the tree board to determine appropriate species to put in along the street. So this fall, we'll be installing trees.
Can you, so maybe members of the audience so they understand, because I know Greg has talked about, I've gotten a couple emails of what you're talking about on the manholes.
So when
the public knows.
Right. So when you pave a road, you usually put the asphalt down and you pave over top the iron. Basically, the manhole covers, the gate valve box covers. So what they do after they pave is they come back through and they jackhammer that stuff up, that the iron, and they raise the iron. And so in this case, they raise the iron a little bit farther than it needed to go. So it's as you're heading west, it's a beautiful, flat, nice, straight shot. Heading east, it slows you down because you hit somewhat of a bumpy ride because the manhole lids are actually raised in excess of what the level of the road surface is. So those need to be corrected. You want them a tiny bit high just because you have water running off the crown of the road. You don't want it coming in the manhole lids and infiltrating your system. But they went above and beyond, so they'll be lowering those back down. I don't have a time frame for that yet, but that will be corrected to make the drive east hopefully almost as smooth as the drive west.
So my second email is, why didn't you do the project right and have all the manholes in the middle of the turn lane? Why weren't they all in a straight line up and down the road?
Well, at one point, they probably were aligned okay on the old road, but when you widen a road, we didn't move the sewer because that's really expensive just to have the manholes out of the way of the driving lane. So with the exception, I think, of two manholes on the west end, that sewer line was already there, and it fell where it fell, and you got to center the road within the right-of-way that you have, and so that's how that ended up being the way it is. But when we design new roads with new utilities, and Thornton Road, there's an example of this, we'll be actually replacing the sewer. And that sewer line will be aligned so it's not within a wheel path. Usually you try to, you know, get it so you straddle the sewer line or it's on center line or whatever, so you're not driving over the top. Because not only does it make for a bumpy ride, but then, two, heavy traffic hitting those structures, it reduces the lifespan.
Estimated time of correction?
I don't have that yet. Just talked to them today.
Okay.
And then just a quick note on Church Road. We're still talking with utility companies about moving utility poles prior to start of construction. So hopefully that we'll see that happen sometime this year.
Okay, any more questions on project updates? No, seeing none. So you might as well stay right up there because you're going to do next item is the bid award for the Vista the Second Pavement Preserve.
Right. Yeah, so this project includes pavement rehabilitation here from 2nd Avenue all the way up to the roundabout, plus then some sewer work and waterline upgrades. So we put that out to bid. We received bids back, I think that was on the 14th. Yeah, so we received bids on the 14th. After tabulating bids, it was determined that InterWest Construction was a low bidder with a bid amount of just over $1 million, so $1,090,210.36. So with that, we always ask for a contingency because you can't guess what's underground, and if you do, it's usually wrong, of approximately 10% for a total contract amount plus contingency of $1,200,210.36.
So we're asking for council action. Anyone from the audience would like to speak on this subject, bid award for this rehabilitation project? Seeing none, council, I see one hand up. Councilperson Mutchler?
Yeah, I move for approval of the bid contract, Vista.
And second, Councilperson Hanson. Okay, any further questions? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 7-0. Next up, bid award Thornton Repair Vista to Maureen.
Thank you, Council. The next bid award is Thornton. And that project, again, will be replacement of the sewer line between Vista and about 100 feet west of Maureen. We will be doing some water line upgrades, as well as widening the road, adding sidewalk, curb and gutter on the north side. And then we're also building a small rain garden on the south side of the road, just west of the school. So we did a call for bids. Bids were submitted and opened on May 9th. And this project's a federal project, and so there are certain requirements that are undertaken, and ICI, InterWest Construction of Burlington, was found to be the lowest responsive bidder. That means they had all their paperwork in order. There was an issue with one of our bidders as far as DBE paperwork, which is a disadvantaged business enterprise. When we have federal jobs, the federal government requires that a certain percentage of that work be done by disadvantaged businesses. They have to register and all that sort of thing. So on this project, we have a goal of 11%. So, again, ICI was found to be the most low responsive bidder with their bid amount of $942,806.19. Again, we asked for a contingency of approximately 10%. That's $95,000. So we are asking council to award this project for $1,037,806.19.
Okay, before we go to council, any from the audience would like to speak on this agenda item? Seeing none, Councilperson Hanson.
I move that we pass Agenda Bill 13-05-007, the awarding of the bids for Thornton Street Improvement.
Second.
Okay, I have a motion and a second by Councilperson Watson. Any further questions? Councilperson Goodrich?
Question that on the Thornton run, that they are assured that they will have this done by the time school starts, or what would happen if we run into issues?
Our contracts are all written the same, and so we've actually written it into the contract. It's a little bit different. We've specified a start date, 17. They're given a specific number of working days. Working days are counted when the contractor is able to do the work and the weather doesn't, you know, if it monsoons, then yes, it could extend beyond. It's not likely that would happen. We shorten the time frame on this. If they are unable to get the work done within the working days specified, then there are monetary damages that the contractor would be responsible for. So hopefully that answers your question.
It should be easily completed before school, or are we pushing it to get it done by school?
It's going to be tight. I mean, you know, there's a lot of work to be done in that amount of time, but we've set it up to make it so it can be done within that time frame.
Any further questions? Okay, motion before you. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 7-0.
Mr. Mayor, can I add one little thing?
You may.
Okay, so this project actually, you know, bids are actually going up a little bit. And so I did want to make mention that project costs rose, and our public works director has done an excellent job, as she always does, to get a little extra money. And so she was able to contact the Council of Governments, determined that there was some extra federal money available. And so both she and Mayor Jensen worked very hard to get very unexpected, because this never happens, an unexpected windfall of an additional $250,000 for this project. So I think that you guys need to know about that. It doesn't happen. That was for her. Great. Thank you.
I just smiled a lot.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
I'd like to make note to the audience that both of these projects were only possible because the citizens voted for the 0.2%, which gave us some money, a nest aid, to get matching funds from state and federal. So the whole community is to be commended to help with this project.
Well said. Okay, next up is a discussion on the BMX bike park in, ConocoPhillips facility. Yuri, would you like to start off with that? And then I know we have some people would like to speak on that.
Sure. A couple of months back, we were approached by a longtime Ferndale resident, born and raised, Patrick Daw, who let us know about his passion for BMX bicycles. Doing tricks off of jumps, things like that. He talked a little bit about some of what he and others did in Bellingham over by Civic Stadium, where they actually were able to construct on city property a very popular regional BMX park. And he said that as a Ferndale resident, it has been very frustrating to he and people that he grew up with and people that he see that are growing up now, that they need to go all the way into Bellingham to ride their BMX bikes. I think that I, like many others, initially had a point of view on BMX bicyclists of possibly destroying as much as they build, but he demonstrated to us, and we contacted the city of Bellingham, the BMX park in Bellingham is actually one of the best maintained parks in the city, not maintained by the city, low incidences of graffiti or other crime. And Patrick came and wanted to know if there was any land available in the city. After some looks at a variety of different sites, the Parks Board has now recommended that the city consider allowing the BMX park to be constructed just north of the ConocoPhillips ball fields, just east of the reserve parking lot there, in between that reserve parking lot and
American Legion.
American Legion, thank you. You're on the ball tonight. We would, it's about a half acre of land, and I think Mr. Dahl can take it from here.
I want to, before Patrick goes up, because When Patrick came to the Parks Board, I mean, Yuri was correct, and so we did some research, and Yuri talked on it for a little bit, but I want to share with what the Parks Department employees from the city of Bellingham said is that they are continuing to this day, quite frankly, amazed is that the BMX park in Bellingham was a section of land that the city donated. They dumped a bunch of dirt and they ran a hose bib over. And since that time, the park has been maintained, rebuilt, reshaped without any city money. They throw some dirt on there once in a while, but the BMX people seem to be of a different attitude of some other, where they create their own park. They're changing. Different age groups worked. The parks employees are amazing to watch. Boy, they show up with their own wheelbarrows. They show up with their own rakes. They reshape it. They rebuild it. They work together. And because of that, and I think that's what the employee was trying to tell me from City of Bellingham, is because they build it, then they treat that park differently, and they police the park themselves. Whereas, and I'm not here to basically say anything against skateboarders, but I guess I will, is that they go, we wish we could have the same cooperation and feeling on the skateboard park, where we have graffiti, where we have fights, where we have problems, because there isn't that pride of, hey, it's ours and we build it. So the interesting other story was, I thought, well, I'll call the city of Mount Vernon. And so the city of Mount Vernon, through a lot of donations, built a BMX racetrack of cement. Same shape, same all the time. And he goes, biggest mistake we ever made. We spent a lot of money, but it's just a racetrack. And, okay, you race it once. There's no creativity. So now we're having, you know, people jump the fence. It has to be fenced. People do graffiti, do weird things, try to get motorcycles on there. Where a dirt thing, it's kind of a great thing. Sometimes we ask, you know, our kids, why don't you get outside and go do something? Well, this is a great example of, boy, get out and do something. Bring your wheelbarrow and bring your shovel and, you know, create a BMX park. So it was kind of interesting because at first I was probably like, what is this guy doing? You know, he wears his hat weird. Sounds like a strange thing. Oh, no, we don't want that. It's a weird location. And then I did some research, and I'm a convert to BMX bike park. I think they're great things. So I guess that's a great enough introduction for Mr. Dahl.
Gary, I had one question.
Okay, before we start, okay, Councilperson Ingram and Goodrich.
Where are we going to provide them water? From where are we going to provide them water?
We have water in the park, so that would be our one expense, is getting water over there.
And it would be fairly minor.
Yeah, for our crew. Councilperson Goodrich?
Maybe you can address, but did I just recently see a sign on the Guy Meridian about a BMX park being built there? And
That's the ABA racetrack. It's membership racing. That's built by the American Bicycle Association for the race circuit itself, which I will be doing that myself too. But
okay, for the record, name and address.
Okay, my name is Patrick Dahl. I'm at 5603 Emhoff Road.
Thank you. The floor is yours.
Okay. You guys pretty much covered the whole bike park deal for me, I guess. I don't have much to say now. I've lost my voice a little bit, I've been riding BMX. I'm 33 now, and I've been riding BMX since I was like 7 years old. Everywhere I went, somehow I found a way to get my bike in the back of the car. It didn't matter what the car was. I'd take my bike all the way apart, and there was never anywhere to ride in Ferndale. I had to go ride my bicycle all the way into Bellingham just to find something to ride. And then I've been involved in building the bike park in Bellingham from the start. I was involved in building the dirt jumps out at Transition Mountain Bike Company, and then I've been involved in several buildings around here. The greatest thing about building that park is we'd have these kids that come out and they literally had nothing. Some of them had criminal records already, one of them 14 years old, a drug criminal record. And he was failing school, and I had him come out there, and I got him lined up with a mountain bike, and within 3 months he was hitting the pro line at the dirt park. And he was helping me build all the time. The park became his park. His parents came up and thanked me for helping this kid out. Where he's at today, I don't know, because I don't really do much with that park anymore. It's been taken over by kids that I worked with then. And I'm really proud of them because that park has evolved 3 different times now. And now it's the best I've ever seen it. And like Yori and Jensen said, Bellingham doesn't pay a dime for it. I don't even think they pay for the insurance right now. I think that that's all funding from kids that just get together and figure it out. And that's kind of my idea with this park is we get it going. You get the kids in the community to come out and ride. Some kids probably watch BMX on TV, don't know they're going to be any good at it. Some kids may just have seen a bike go down the road, don't know they're going to be good at it. Boys and girls, you know, come out, ride, all of a sudden they like it. They got a bike, they have a hobby, something to do. No more video games. Well, not as much. I play video games, I'm 33. But my wife gets annoyed by it sometimes. That's cool. But for, like, adults, so, you know, I get hang out at the bike park, and I'll see some people come after work. They'll have their mountain bike in the back of their car. They'll get their 15 minutes of riding time. They're all sweaty, and they're done. That's the workout for the day. And they're ready to go home, you know. There'll be a pro line, which is, like, the jumps, lip to landing transitions were almost vertical. And you can, off the 7-foot-tall lip, I can boost up to, I don't know, 10 feet above that myself. And there'll be an intermediate line, which won't be quite as steep. It's more mellow. And then there'll be a beginner line, which we also like to call the pump track, which will have, like, bank turns in it. Everything is all, you could just ride over it with your bicycle. But the whole idea of a pump track is to be able to go around it without ever pedaling. You build your speed all off of your pumping. And, man, I tell you what, I used to think that I could just rule that 30 seconds into it. I'm off the side breathing. You know, you just, it wears you out fast, and it's so good for you, you know. So I just kind of like to bring something new to Ferndale, and I think that Bellingham's a good example of what can be done. So,
okay, so we're going to go for questions.
Yuri?
I just wanted to point out a couple things. If you could talk about the WIMPs really quick. Also, I know that you've been talking to people in the community about material donations.
No, don't tell people that's an acronym.
He'll need to, but yes. And then the last thing before you do is the city's only responsibility, I believe, besides water, would be getting the necessary permits, and we could do that.
No
for
insurance?
Them.
We don't do that.
I can clarify this. Yeah, clerk will clarify insurance requirements.
So I spoke with the our insurer at RMSA about this, and they didn't actually explicitly say that we would be covered, but largely because they view this as us kind of taking a hands-off approach. And basically what they say, and I just pulled up my email really quick, is that if the city doesn't oppose it, does not supervise it, control it, and especially does not charge a usage fee, you will probably be able to enjoy immunity under the recreational immunity statute. And that's a statute where basically we put up signage and says, you're at your own risk. Have fun, you know. We should fall under the recreational immunity statute, and they were pretty confident about that. They didn't raise any concerns, and our insurers, you know, we pay them to be skittish for us, and they were not. So we feel pretty comfortable with it.
So are there signage that we'll put up?
Yes.
Okay.
Councilperson Messler.
Patrick, I like you.
Thank you.
Well, I've got three boys with bikes. And you live on Imhoff Road. That's kind of county, right?
Yes.
So I want you to, while you're doing this, I want you to imagine that you live at 5545 Second Avenue. And that's the residence right next to the proposed park. Happens to be a friend of mine, a fellow triathlete named Joel, and he's concerned about the obvious, right? So I want you to imagine that you're there 24/7 because he does shift work out at the Intelco out there. So I really want to hear as this thing goes forward how we're going to help people like that that are right on top of you. And good luck to you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Patty.
I have a quick question. Was that email entered into record, Mr. McCary's email? Because we all received it.
We have a copy, and we printed it out with the archive packet.
Okay.
Okay, we'll let Mr. Dahl answer, and then on questions, remember, close to your microphone as possible. The clerk's kicking me under the table again. So close to your microphone as possible. Okay, Mr. Dahl, it's your floor.
Okay, I got Jim Vosbeck of Vosbeck Construction, who has told me that he will donate equipment and dirt. I had dirt lined up. The problem with that is he said the job went south for now because of permitting issues. So it could be another 90 days before we see dirt off that. So I got to talk to a few other construction companies about dirt laying around from job sites that they need to get rid of. We got to have a good clean fill. like kind of a sandy clay would be the best. The less rocks, the better, because rocks kind of poses a safety issue. Like you come down on a landing and there's a rock laying there that just kind of fell out of the lip, and you hit that with your bike and you go into a quick jolt and you slam right into the. Yeah, I've done it a couple times. Pretty cool. So there's him, and then
how
I got.
How many yards of dirt total do you think?
A lot. I don't really. I'm not really sure.
Okay.
I'm not really sure. It's just pretty much just keep bringing the dirt in until enough's enough, I guess. So, and then, let's see. Star Rentals, Equipment Rentals, has told me, I talked to Jack there, and he told me that whenever I need dirt, or not dirt, but whenever I need equipment, to hit him up, and he'll donate equipment. He just asked that, it's probably the same as Voss Beck and anybody else I've talked to, advertisement. And what they do is we'd probably get a board, sign like the rules, of signs similar to that, that would have their company names and contact all posted onto it. So when anybody comes to ride the park, it'd be sponsors or special thanks to, you know. And then Mike Petum is another one. He's a local. I went to school to him. He's got his own little construction company that he's kind of up and coming, and he's told me that he's actually gone out and to friends' houses with his excavators and sculpted dirt bike tracks for them, which I had to kind of educate him on BMX is not dirt bikes. So we don't have a motor. There's none of this. So we're gonna go fast. It's got to be smooth and clean. And I'm really tired right now, so I'm kind of slipping. But I know I've got people that from the Bellingham Herald. I've gotten emails from people that has stated that if I needed like shovels or anything, they'll step up. And then the WIMPs, the Whatcom Independent Peddlers Coalition, they're the ones who take care of all the trails up on North Fork. Well, it's shut down now, but Galbraith, and there's a few other trail settings all around Whatcom County that have been covered in magazines that they steward. They go up and they shovel on it. They have building parties, and they've actually done quite a few building parties for the Bellingham Bike Park.
So I'll shift you a little bit. So obviously we're going to throw it at you, or you're going to have to get materials and get people to volunteer it. We probably will move back into whether or not we're going to move forward on the discussion on this thing. So back to Councilperson Mutchler's question of what would you say to the person that would live right next to that park?
I would tell them there's probably not a whole lot to worry about, because the Bellingham Bike Park, the only time you hear noise would be maybe once a summer when we decide to do, and most times I think when I was riding for Kona Mountain Bike Company, Kona ran the freestyle comp, and I think that they would approach the city for the permits to have a competition to allow for like a guy up there with a microphone, you know, which occasionally you'll hear some music, but not much, because you pretty much got a guy up there announcing the stunts that the rider's doing, talking to the crowd, and then you got the judges over here that have to be able to watch the tricks and focus on that. So there's really not that much loud music. I mean, occasionally in a park you're going to get kids that get fireworks and they go out and you don't even know who they are. They're just out there lighting stupid stuff off, you know. But I don't think I've really ever had any conflict at the Bellingham Bike Park. The only time I ever saw conflict over in that area is when, I don't know, a mountain biker leaves the bike park when it's wet, when they shouldn't be riding, and they go to the skate park with muddy tires, and they're tracking their mud into the skate park and making it really hard for the skaters to skate because they're getting dirt and gravel, and skaters get that under their wheels, and it just makes their board come to a halt. And so, you know, some of the skaters that are at the park, they actually baby that park, that skate park. They sweep it every day. I've seen them do it. And when you step on their turf, they're gonna let you know. So the Bellingham Bike Park, I've never seen anybody fight in that park, not once. I've had to chase a dirt bike rider out of there one day when I was building.
Okay.
But
So I have Councilperson Goodrich was first, then I'm going to go Zimmerman, and then Watson.
I've seen that this is on here for discussion. Where are we going to go next? It's one of my favorite questions to ask.
What do you want?
Where are we going to do? Yeah, this is a discussion. I mean, we still have to firm up in terms of some details, but do you want to tackle that, Yuri?
Once we know whether or not council is interested in pursuing this, and we would want to look more carefully at more exactly how much dirt we're talking about moving in, get the permits for it. We might also want to bring back, if you wish to move forward, something that might have a sunset clause that you could then extend in the future, so that if for some reason the park hasn't materialized or hasn't materialized to your liking, after a certain period of time, it would discontinue automatically unless you extended it. So the next step, or the step today, is to see whether or not you want to hear more, or if you want
to. We'd need, not. You know, council decides all expenses, so we'd have to get a bid to extend water to the location. So I'd be similar to what we did on the disc golf. You guys gave us kind of a without a vote, a nod to move forward. We came back with a price to pull out of parks mitigation and a plan, and then you voted. So that would be the next step. For now we're saying, is this something you'd like us to pursue and move forward with?
Yeah, my only thing would be, as far as pursuing and moving forward, would be in the area of, at the other end of the spectrum, or the thing that all of a sudden we end up, BMXing goes out of style or whatever, and now we have a dirt field with a whole bunch of hills in it, of like we do with the dark box type thing. You know, what happens if the park goes down? You know, whose responsibility would it be to go in there, level it out, or get rid of the dirt or whatever? But I think, you know, as long as there's something in there like that, then I don't see any problem with moving forward with it.
Okay, so further questions of Mr. Dahl, Councilperson Zimmerman?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Dahl. I support this, your action, your initiative on this. Is this designed to be kind of dusk, it's over as soon as the lights are out or the sun goes down?
You can't ride in the dark.
Okay.
Because you got, even if the sun's coming down, it hits the jumps just right, it's really hard to see the curve in the lip itself, so it gets kind of scary.
Okay.
And me being old now, I wear a helmet when I ride even. I didn't used to do that. You know, now I'm like, I don't even touch my bike without a helmet. You know, I think of that, and I stop myself riding anything that I can't see properly.
Well, I'll remind everyone, this is really the first thing that we've done for that age group of youth since the disc golf. And I think it's way over time, and I think you're a responsible individual to pull it off, and good luck on it. I support it.
Thank you.
Okay, Councilperson Watson and then Mutchler.
I guess I still had a question. So you won't be adding any additional lights?
No.
Okay.
There should be no lights.
And I had a question for maybe Yori. Stormwater runoff? How we do? We'll have a bunch of, you know, dirt and mud. Are we going to have to do something with the stormwater?
Part of the permit process.
Okay.
Councilperson Mutchler and then Ingram.
Would it be fair to my friend, your neighbor now, soon to be perhaps, if he were to visit the BMX there in Bellingham, would that be a fair, this is what it would be like, that would be a good story for him to examine?
Yeah, you can go check it out, you know, usually around, I mean, the group.
Not
that,
the skateboard, but the BMX.
No, the BMX park. The group that goes there varies. Like, you go about 8 or 9 in the morning, you'll see soccer moms with their little kids riding the pump track. Kids will be like 2.5, 3 years old, trying to toot around on their bikes. Or then you get in the afternoons right when school lets out, and you get all the teenagers that come out there that, dude, they're so yeah. good now. It's unreal. And then about 6 o'clock when the old guys get off work, we go out there and ride for about a half hour, and that's all we got. So...
You're
we
so
go home
old.
To our wife and our kid. And
yeah,
those 30-year-old boys.
So okay, we'll refer the next question to another old guy, Councilperson Ingram.
I made most of that dirt you're going to be using out there. So I was just going to say that I'll bet that if we could come up with a ditch witch, that you and I could go out and pipe that water in on a Saturday in about a half an hour. I think we've laid some pipe together before.
We have some plumbing skills. Councilperson Mutchler, did you finish? Or?
No, I hope you meet this. I hope you meet Joel. Like you, he's an athlete, outdoors person, and you might be able to work this out outside of council here.
I'll do whatever I can as it goes along. So.
Okay, so I know we have some members of the audience who would like to speak. Any further questions for Mr. Dahl?
No.
Okay, Mr. Dahl, thank you.
Thank you.
We'll open the audience up for now. So like Councilperson Mutchler started the meeting with, every subject has different opinions, and so we want to respect everyone's opinion, which direction it goes. So anyone from the audience would like to speak on this? Welcome.
My name is Ruth Main. I live at 5545 Second Avenue with Joel.
Let me tell you an average day at 5545 Second Avenue. It's picking up soiled diapers, needles, condoms, trash, seeing drunks urinate, and defecate. That's what it's like living down by the ball fields. As responsible citizens, we do our best to keep an eye on the Legion, as well as the ball fields, the parking lot. We get locked in our driveway during ball season, people parking illegally, even though there are no parking signs. We have balls that hit our house. Hey, it comes with the territory. I'm not against that. Luckily, we haven't had any broken windows as of yet. My concern may not so much lay with the bikers. This is already a problem child for the city. As Ferndale police tell us constantly when we're calling in, all kinds of nefarious problems going on day and night. I cannot discuss with you or even tell you the amount of times and hours that I spend not only taking care of the city's piece of property back there that encroaches with grass and weeds and blackberries onto our property. I'm not complaining, mind you, because I've made some really good blackberry jam from those blackberries, okay? I would like to see something done with that piece of property. I just don't think a BMX park in that area is a good idea. It's already concealed. There's no good lighting. They may do a great job, and they may have great intentions. But like I said, check with Ferndale Police. This is already a drug habitat, a drunk habitat. I have teenagers down there day and night getting away from their parents to smoke, drink, and make out. We've called the police for people having sex back there. Just last night when I was watering my garden, I had to reprimand some children for throwing rocks at the Legion Hall because they were unsupervised. This, I don't know if you all are aware of the problems that go on down there, mainly because of the 24/7 access. So that's my concern. Above and beyond that, what's it going to do to our property value if we want to sell in the future? Having a BMX track that throws dust and dirt and rocks into my garden. What's it going to do to my plants and my animals? Is there going to be a 12 or 15-foot concrete wall? As ugly as that would be, at least it would keep all of the material off of my garden. I have a 60 by 60 garden. It's not small. I spend a lot of time and a lot of effort out there. And again, I'm all for seeing children and young adults have something that they can do that will keep them out of trouble. As you stated, you helped one young boy. I just don't think that this piece of property is a good piece of property. I'm told by Joel there are other pieces of property that are available. If you want to do something with that property, turn it into a community garden. At least that would bring, I'm not going to say a higher class of people, but it would bring people that would like to see an upkeep of the area. Thank you for your time.
Questions for this guest? Okay. Okay, anyone else from you guys like to speak on the bike park? Welcome, sir.
Good evening, Council. My name is Jeff Weir. I'm representing the American Legion Culchin Post number 154 at 5537 Second Avenue. I concur with Ruth about the problems we've had. The American Legion Post here has grave concerns about the safety and the cleanliness of our property. We have been blessed with neighbors like this. They watch our post quite a bit. She's the authority on what goes on around there. But I have picked up evidence of such as diapers, needles on the property. We are not an anti-BMX track. We'd love to have the youth something to do, but I question the Parks Board pick of this property. So I thank you for your consideration.
Questions for Jeff? Councilperson Mutchler?
I have a question for the chief related to safety. I thought that would ties into him.
We'll let Jeff sit down and bring the chief here.
I have one other. We had graffiti last weekend. It was reported on the property, and I cleaned it immediately up. Unfortunately, there was a policeman there. The policemen do come by very often, but there are still things that slip through, unfortunately. Thank you for your time.
Okay. Chief Knapp? Now, in response is, I guess the only answer I can have is that when we put in the disc golf course,
it helped Vander Yacht, is that, and then since we've had more dog people use Vander Yacht, we certainly still have problems at Vander Yacht, but not as many as before. And I don't know about people parking in cars and having romance, but I know that people going to do bad things don't want people around. And I walk that park with my dog regularly, and my parents walk the dog. And, you know, they tell me stories. But a lot of times, you know, as soon as I drive in that parking lot park, you know, you always know, oh, the car drives away. And so I can't tell you what a BMX park's going to do. But I do know from evidence at Vander Yacht is that the more people we have in a park lessens the amount of problems in the park. She is correct. Is that's, you know, we talked at one time of gating that so people couldn't drive down there. That was one of the specific reasons why I came to you in my first year as mayor, is to add a shift where our parks employee works later, the Wednesday through Sunday. But so I don't know the answer to that. I know we've had problems at that park. I don't know if this is an answer, but the only evidence we have is Van Gogh. So I'll turn it over to the chief, and I guess
thank you.
Has a question for
you.
And you're
tracking my line on. And I know that safety and crime isn't your only concern, but I'd be curious from the chief, from your experience, does something like this tend to mitigate any crime or to make it worse, make it less? Do you have any?
It's a good question. First,
Chief, want to go microphone?
I agree. I hate to put my back to you. I agree with the statements about the conditions that we do find on 2nd Street, 1st Street, 3rd Street. I am a member of the American Legion, and I know what Jeff says is quite accurate. It is a remote area of the city, and it's attractive for that reason. Whether the park, and I don't endorse or condemn it, whether the park will be a positive influence in actually reversing that is certainly something that appears quite possible, because the more people that visit that place, the less likely it will attract the crowd that is currently using it to do drugs, to do graffiti, and I'm not sure the park will make any contribution to public defecation or to diaper being dumped there. I'm assuming the fact that you will be present there and people will be enjoying that area may discourage that sort of conduct. So the bottom line is whether, in fact, within this particular factual situation, we're going to find that this will remediate what we already know as a problem is entirely speculative, but it's certainly quite possible that by opening this up to the public, putting some light there, using it for some healthy, good activity, we may be able to have some very positive effects on discouraging that.
Councilperson Ingram, and then Councilperson Goodrich.
This is for staff. Yori, during the permitting process that they're going to have to go through for this, what will we do to address the issue of possibly restroom facilities? To be fair, I've seen little leaguers down there peeing behind the dugout, so because there's no facilities down there.
Well, and that might be part of a larger issue, you know, with all of the park use there. In the SEPA process, since it's likely going to be greater than 500 cubic yards, the neighbors would have the opportunity to comment, and so would the city, and identify mitigation measures. I wasn't thinking about the restroom facilities, but I was thinking about signage as far as restricting different things.
The old field house, while we've torn down the steps and the second story of the old field house is in disrepair, but the bathrooms inside the field house aren't, they're not destroyed to a thing. as much as you can get volunteer plumbing labor for water, you could get volunteer plumbing labor to probably fix the field house. Those are old stainless steel fixtures, and so you do have a bathroom fairly close by that maybe this would be the impetus where we pull some baseball and BMX people to give them, because they will need a restroom, and I'd like to see those restrooms restored and back up and useful now.
Yeah, I honestly didn't think they were still serviceable, but I'm glad to hear that they are. Yeah, we can fix them up with some volunteer labor.
I had a plumber inspect them, and they're not that bad.
Okay.
Councilperson Goodrich?
How much does that cost us?
Want to address one of the concerns about the property owners, too, is that, as they said, they're not going to be out there in the evening or night. And so any of the activities that are going on there that are illegal in the evenings, having the BMX place there is not going to affect people coming in and doing stuff at night in that area. So possibly.
And my question would be, along with Jeff, if the city's going to use a clause so that you're not held legally responsible for any damage to our properties, who's going to...
My question would be, on a legal matter, if the city's going to use a clause so that you're not held legally responsible for damage to our property or the Legion Hall, and we already pay to haul off all the garbage and needles and diapers and stuff that are dumped, what's going to happen and who's going to pay for damage to our properties? And again, if we choose to sell, what is that going to do to the value of our property? Would you want to live next to a BMX bike track that had dirt flying in your yard all day? Thank you.
You can buy it.
Okay, further questions, Councilperson Watson?
I guess I'm trying to understand, was this the only site that was looked at? It sounds like there were other sites that were looked at as possibilities. So was there a reason that the Parks Board chose this particular site?
The first choice was where we've slated it to do the Star Park.
Star Park, okay.
I guess... For reference, if you drive by it now, we don't do this for anything. It's basically a weed-filled square of land that we identified and said, gee, why aren't we doing something that square of land? It does fit some of the parameters that it goes back to when we talked about a skate park, which council took money out of, and I still have a problem in the fact of something that Councilperson Zimmerman mentioned, is that we haven't done a great job in this city of providing some recreation opportunities. And what we call our skate park is not a skate park, and it's very sad. And that's a different part of society. Jake Locker had lots of fields to become where he is, and now he's a great professional athlete. But this city provided him fields as a young man to do what he wanted to. Well, not every child is a Jake Locker that wants to play football. There are other things, and we haven't done a job. This is a chance to provide something at a low cost. Is it a detriment to a real estate? I don't know. She lives next to a park. I can't answer that. Is it going to be detrimental? If it's detrimental, I guess we'll close it down. Right now, it's a small field. Now, let's go back to the parameters of it. It already has a parking lot. So if people drive there, there are places to park. Parking lot, most expensive thing in the world. We already have a parking lot. Does it need a restroom? We already have a restroom there. Can the restroom be restored? Yes, it can. Is it able to be cruised by our police department? It's a little out of the way, but it's still there. I would suspect that the peak time for the BMX park coincides with the peak time for baseball, same hours. They probably will quit before that because of shadows. We have quite a bit of light from the baseball field. So when we looked at the parameters of the skate park, it was make it where someone can drive by, police can drive by with a police car without getting out. It has a parking lot. You are correct. Have I found a perfect location for a BMX park? No. I'm sure that Mr. Dahl didn't say, ooh, this is the perfect location. He was looking for a square of dirt. So I'll refer to Mr. Dahl on that question, too.
Yeah.
Mr. Dahl?
No, you need to answer my question first.
Oh.
I guess she was asking, did we look at other locations? And
yeah, we, me and Serge Slagle actually went around and looked at some property, and there was a piece over on the other side of the Nooksack River down by the old, where it used to be a floral shop, from what I can remember. Kind of looked at that. The only bad thing is it's a flood area, and dirt doesn't like flood. And when you get good soil in, I hate to see water come up and wash the dirt away, and then we got to try and keep the builder's interest in this park that's just going to get washed away again next year. You know, I've been involved in building dirt jumps back in the woods, places like that, where the water come up and the dirt was gone, and we were like, why are we doing this here? So then if we can't have a public place to build, then you're going to get kids that are just going to go out in places like back behind Guido's, where you're going to find a bunch of needles, empty beer cans and stuff, and they're going to build illegally. And they're going to trespass. They're going to dump dirty diapers. They're going to, you know, if they have at least the city's permission, you're going to have kids that respect it, that want to keep it there, and they're going to police it themselves. They will step up. We have a garbage can out at the Bellingham Bike Park. Before we had the garbage can there, all of us builders would take our pop cans, we put them in a pile, and it takes one guy with one garbage bag in the back of his truck to take and dispose that. Price of aluminum's up right now, so if you got pop cans, man, you're looking at, I don't know, half a case of beer when you get home. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Like, you can actually get some money back out of it. So it's all part that the community has to come together and fix. Most BMX riders, we don't, like, I change my kid's diaper and I throw it in a diaper genie at home and I don't deal with it. It's gone. Most people aren't changing their kid's diapers at a bike park. Most people hopefully aren't doing heroin at a bike park. I don't want to be riding a park where I'm going to fall on needles myself. But you also got to keep in mind, we're not riding dirt bikes. We're riding BMX bikes. Rocks don't go flying. Dust, there's no dust. The dust is minimal. And when there is dust, it's because we're out there sweeping the loose dirt off the good dirt. So that way we can get better traction with our tires to keep our bike from washing out and injuring ourselves. And I've done that before. I've been in the hospital with a lacerated kidney to ride bikes on an unsafe park.
Okay, so we'll move on to that one. Okay, so, Council, we're moving toward just kind of an interim decision. I'm aware of the agenda. I'll go to Councilor Zimmerman and then Councilor Ingram. I'll go back to the audience quickly, and then we'll see if we can kind of come to a decision. Okay. Councilor Zimmerman?
Mr. Dahl, for edification of the audience, it's not a really big site. Is it about as big as this room, or how big is the site?
Well, we came down and checked it out, me and one of the other riders from Bellingham. And he took a look at it. It's almost exact comparison to the Bellingham Bike Park. There might be a little bit extra space out there yet, too. So
is it bigger than this room? Smaller?
Oh, yeah, it's bigger than this room.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's about a half an acre.
Councilperson Ingram?
Mr. Dahl, I was just curious about something. The concern of the potential neighbor about her real estate value. I'm trying to visualize Bellingham Bike Park. I've only been by it a couple of times, but aren't there several homes right next to that?
It's apartments, and there are homes back and behind it, but I don't know what that would do for your home value. I mean, personally, I would, because of my interests, I would be happy to buy a piece of property next to a bike park, because I would pretty much turn that bike park into my yard. I would be there working on it every day. You know?
She might have a house for sale.
I know, right? If I didn't just buy mine, I'd be
okay, over. Moving on from that. Anyone else from the audience would like to come forward and speak? Okay. So, Council, I'm going to ask, nodding of heads, shall we move forward and pursue this?
Not nodding as in, yes, I think we should build it, or yes, I would like.
Nodding would be kind of a yes, and going like this would be no.
Well, but are we nodding yes? Are we nodding yes to build it or to continue investigating?
You're nodding yes
it,
for us to pursue it.
Pursue it and bring back some more details.
Okay, so not being built yet. We're moving forward. Okay.
More information.
Thank you, Council. Okay, moving on the agenda. Next up is the public hearing on the solid waste tax increase. Who's introducing that one? I think we all have that information.
Okay. Thank you, council members. Before you is a ordinance that would increase by 0.5% the solid waste utility tax rate from 12% currently to 12.5% effective January 1st, 2014. this is before you because on March 18th, 2013, the City Council unanimously approved a funding plan for the new library project with one half of the financing for debt to come from real estate excise tax one funding and the other half to come from a one-half of 1% increase in the solid waste utility tax. At the same meeting, the council unanimously placed a sunset clause within this ordinance that you directed staff to author that would sunset at the time following the final payment of bond funding on the library. You asked us to bring this back to you only if the voters of the city of Ferndale approved the $550,000 bond debt to finalize funding for the project. They did that, and so we have brought it back before you. In committee, there were some minor language tweaks related to what I had written initially related to this. Prior to this, I had actually written preceding final payment of the bond funding. That would have worked if we had a reserve, but in this case, it's a little bit different situation. So we're saying following the final payment of bond debt, this one-half of 1% tax increase expires the next January, basically. So it sort of all rounds out. So this is the second half of your funding plan. If this is technically a public hearing, I don't think it was required, but we decided it would be appropriate to have one, and so I will leave you with that.
Councilperson Mutchler?
Well, this is going to be funding a bond, which is going to likely be a 10-year, instead of 14-year, correct?
Mark, you want to answer that,
or is it the other part?
We were planning on a 14-year. I've been getting quotes from private placement to banks. I have one quote from a bank that's a 10-year bond.
Good. I like that.
Okay. Further questions of staff? Seeing none, this is a public hearing. I'll read our new lean version of the public hearing. Thank you to our clerk for people who have attended council meetings in the past. This is fantastic. I thoroughly enjoy this shorter comment. A public hearing is a formal opportunity to give testimony to the council for consideration in the decision-making process. Written comments may also be submitted to the city clerk prior to the beginning of the hearing. When the mayor calls your name, proceed as follows. Audience members who have signed up prior to the beginning of the meeting will be called first to speak as this public hearing. If you are unable to sign up before the meeting, you'll be given opportunity to address the council once we've gotten through all the speakers listed on the hearing sheets. Each speaker should state his or her name, address for the record, and be given 3 minutes to address the council. When a large group of individuals supports the same position on an issue, we encourage the selection of one or two representatives to speak on behalf of the entire group. Is anyone on our list to speak at the public hearing?
No.
Okay. Would anyone in the audience like to come forward and speak on this? Okay. I'm going to close the public hearing at 712.34. 38.9 seconds. Way to go. I like it. Councilperson Mutchler's hand is up first.
I move the adoption agenda bill 1305-08.
Councilperson Hansen seconded that motion. Any further discussion on the motion? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
I have a question. No, after the vote. It has nothing to do with the vote.
Okay, all opposed? Seeing none, motion it carries 7-0. Councilperson Goodrich.
My question is, Mr. Administrator, do we know when the shovel is going to start digging the ground for the library? Do we have any dates figured out?
It's going to be done in at least a couple of phases. The first phase is going to be what I guess you can just call the site prep work. We know that the site used to have a home on it and has other potentially pieces of concrete or whatever. So we're fairly certain that there's a lot of unsuitable material under the ground there. We also need to bring in fill to literally bring the entire site up because, as you know, it slopes down and away from the street. So the first phase is going to be the removal of the stripping off the topsoil, saving that for later, and then the removal of the unsuitable material below that, and then we'll be actually bringing in fill in and compacting it in place. We have the ability because our neighbor to the west is also planning to do a development and has dirt to get rid of. This, at least the first phase of this project, is going to represent more of a public-private partnership insofar as there's that common access road that's between the back of the library and then the adjoining development. So that'll be started first. So you'll be seeing that work. We're hopeful that it'll start early part of June. So I would say in the next 2 weeks or so, you might see some dirt being moved around on that site.
Are we going to have an official groundbreaking type thing for it? Or?
We hadn't talked about it just because, as I think most everyone here is aware, the timing of this project is all really dependent on, we have one fairly large grant that goes away at the end of August if we aren't into the building, or at least beginning the construction. So we've been back planning to be sure that we can meet that most early deadline. So
the Friends of the Ferndale Library do want to do a groundbreaking.
Good, because that's something that I've not been thinking about, but I'm glad
no,
someone
else
has.
No, you give them a date, they'll plan everything.
Okay, because we're going to be doing that dirt work, and then that will be followed probably in July with the bid for the library itself. And that might be, I think, the most appropriate time, because that way the general contractor will kind of be there, and it'll be kind of the big event, if you will. So that's the timing right now. It's going to be happening relatively soon.
Okay, moving on to the agenda, we're down to item I, ordinance to park impact fees. Once again, Yori Burnett will bring this subject up. This was moved forward from another meeting, and hopefully we'll come to a solution tonight.
Good evening, Council. Good evening, Mr. Mayor. On May the 6th, the City Council, following a public hearing, started to discuss park impact fees and asked staff to come back to you with a variety of new options. So we came back through committee. Staff, again, is recommending a community share for the park impact fees of $1,035.81, development share of $1,726.35. The committee recommended approval of staff's recommendation 2-1. Just by way of some background, as you know, we've just updated our parks master plan. We have tried to go with the kind of leaner, meaner approach, I guess you could say, where we've significantly reduced the overall capital costs, but we've done that realizing that there's not as much money available as there was back in 2005, and that the 2005 plan was likely not that feasible to begin with. We have also, in the new plan, brought forward into the daylight the true maintenance costs that we have and the likely increase of those maintenance costs as we expand our parks and trail system. We also, and I think Council was introduced to the number of maintenance plus activities or amenities that need to be put into our parks or repaired within our parks, and those amenities are by and large funded by the community, by the city. So with all of that in front of us, staff still recommends that the development community pay higher impact fees than they are now, but still lower than what they did prior to 2008. But in order to help you on your way, because you are elected to talk about these things and come to the right decision, we do on page 47 have an alternatives list where you can see the relative if one gets higher, the other one gets lower. Happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Council, questions for staff? Councilperson Watson?
Nope. Ready for motion if there's no questions.
You have the power to give and receive, so you can have a motion when you like.
Okay. I'd like to move to approve staff recommendations, Agenda Bill 1305009.
I'll second.
Okay, been moved and seconded. Further discussion? Councilperson Goodrich?
As you know, I'm not really in favor of raising this, but I have a feeling that the council is going to go ahead and do it. I could be wrong, but I would like to make an amendment to the motion that this not be a one-time increase, but that it be an incremental increase over, what is it, a 20% change? Or is it 30?
I'm not sure that.
It's been from 30 to 50.
From 30 to 50. Yeah, that this be an incremental increase
of my mind is going blank right now.
Wherein you would start at 1,035 for the development share and then go up, what, like
40%,
10% each year?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Yeah, 10% increase each year so that the developers know ahead of time what's going on so they can plan, so it's not just a one-time, all of a sudden, whammy hit, but then it gradually gets implemented.
Do you stop at 50?
Hmm?
Do you stop at 50 or just keep going?
No, stop at 50.
Just checking.
I'll second the amendment. Are we? And I have a question.
Okay. Do you want to speak to your motion, or was that enough?
I think I've kind of spoken.
Okay, Councilperson Hansen.
Is it your intent that this be done over 2 years? Because that's what I believe the motion was. That we go from 30, which it is today, percent, to 40, which would be the first step, and the second step would be to 50. Is that your intent?
I apologize because I've been dealing with a lot of stuff outside of here and so recently, but my feeling is that I don't want the developers all of a sudden to wake up Monday morning and have a big, hit and change in fees. And I thought originally it was like a $300 difference, if I remember right, from last time. So my initial thought was $100 this year, $100 next year, and $100 the next year to bring it up to the amount, if my memory is serving me correct.
Probably easier to do percents just for...
Yeah.
In real numbers, if you went from 30% this year to next year at 40%, it would be approximately $350. It's about a $350 jump each year. Then, so from 30 to 40 to 50, altogether it's a $700 difference.
Yeah, I would stay with the 2 year. Yeah.
Okay,
so
further just
to 40 and then to 50.
Yeah.
In 2 years.
So is that is your question answered, Councilperson Hansen?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm not sure that I like it, but it's a good question.
I'm still confused then. So it stays 30% this year, and then on January 1st, the motion would turn it to 40, and then the next year it would be 50%?
Yes.
Is that okay?
Oh, no, that just changed.
What?
What I thought it was.
Yeah.
Let's go microphones forward so the audience can hear what you're doing.
No, I was under the impression that we would go to 40 immediately. Not. Are you suggesting 40 on January 1st?
Well, my original thought that I brought up the last time was to wait and not do an increase this year until what I consider the building season is over. And, for permitting, like I said, I just hate to have the developers wake up Monday morning next week and with the increase. And, if they're still kind of on a fence on a project or something, I'd rather give them more time than that.
So question for the clerk. Did his motion give us that, what Mr. Burnett has put up?
Well, I think he stated enough where I think it was
okay.
Quite clear for now.
Okay.
Now we know what his intent.
That is my intent.
That's my intent.
Okay.
Okay, so that's been moved and seconded. Discussion on the amendment. Councilperson Mutzler? Microphone, please.
Yeah, and I'm fine with that, and I support what Brent's trying to do. I do want to get us to 50%. I do want to get us to 50% because otherwise we're paying for it. My idea is really close to that, and it should this fail, I might suggest, I don't mind seeing us today getting up to 40, and then in 1 year, 45, and 1 year, 50. It's splitting hairs a little bit, but I'm comfortable with this, Brent. This is the right idea.
Okay, discussion on this. City Administrator?
Right now, the fee is $1,289.
27. Correct.
So I just want to be clear. So right now, it's... $1,289, but according to the amended motion, it would drop to $1,035. And then in 2014, it'll raise slightly above what it is today. So we're going down by $250.
I don't think that's what Councilperson Goodrich stated.
That's not what you intended.
No.
Okay, that's what I was... Good. Okay.
So if you went to 40%...
No, what I'm saying is keep it what it is today.
Till January 1st of 2014.
Right. And then it would go up to 40%. And then in 2015, it'd go up to 50%.
So rather percentages go dollars.
Okay. So it'd be about a $100 increase next January. It'd be the same now, about $100 more in January, and then about $350 more in 2015.
I think you wanted to do it in two equal, didn't you?
Well, no, that was
what I thought the intent was.
Your motion said two equals.
Yeah, so that's my impression. Was
so your increase is
500 and you go 250.
So let's go away percentages. Yeah. Let's go to dollars. It's 437.08 divided by 2. Is that simple enough? 437.08 divided by 2. Half of it is in January of 2014. The next is in January of 2015.
So... essentially, it's leaving it the same today. It's $218.54 if you round that to 220, is the increase in 2014. And then the remainder, which would be a little less than 220, would be more like 216, whatever the difference is, in 2015. That's how I...
That's the motion. I think that's clearly stating his motion now.
Okay.
We've got it. It's easy to go in dollar and cents.
Yeah, that's what I thought originally, too. But then he started talking percentages.
Now, he's putting it on the board.
Yuri will adjust his parks plan to fit. You guys, over the years, you've always done flat rate dollar amounts rather than percentages, and so you're going true to form for history.
What he's put up there is not correct.
What's that?
What he has put up there is not correct. That's not what the intent of the motion is. The intent of the motion is 1289.27 plus $220. So it would be $1509 or something.
Go away from percentages. Go to flat rate dollar.
So it's that one there.
You'll do the percentages
later.
There you
go. 1509 and then to 1726.
27.
I'm sure there is.
Yeah.
16. Is it 27? Okay. It's within. Yeah. Whatever that is.
Okay. Councilperson Mutchler, then Ingram.
I believe that you would like percentages, so I'm hoping we can authorize you to round up those percentages as need be.
You know, I don't know that this is better. This tells us what you wanted. The percentages are...
You can make that work. Let's get out of here.
Staff, again, we'll say, staff has done this on several occasions. Council goes with flat rate dollar amounts, and the staff will adjust later to make sure your wishes are what they want. So, Yuri, just smile and say yes.
Yes.
Councilperson Ingram.
When would this take effect?
Upon approval of this ordinance. Mm-hmm.
Could we write it so it takes effect January 1?
Well, yes. The fee increase would not occur until January 1st, 2014 anyway.
Oh, are you at a good point, though? Are you because if it went into effect, we would still be approving the clause that allows developers to do work in lieu. Mm-hmm. Very good point.
There's the text
that is correct.
As well.
Yeah, very good point.
That's also the intent.
All it changes the dollar amount, nothing else.
Correct. So if that's what you're looking for, correct. Councilperson Hansen?
Well, just to completely clarify that, then for the remainder of 2013, as soon as this ordinance has passed, the waiting period, 5 days or something, it would remain the same dollar amount, but we would kick in the in-kind. On January of 2014, it's $1509.27. The in-kind would continue and then would get all the way to $1726.35 in 2015.
You are correct.
Okay.
Okay. Further questions on the amendment? Councilperson Olson.
Yuri, how bad is this going to throw the taxpayer in arrears, the homeowners that are going to have to fork over the rest of this in our shortage?
the mic's not good enough.
For each 10% that the city does not collect, when we proposed 50% right now, would be about 20% under that. For each full year of growth of about 100 units per year, we would see approximately, I believe it was $40,000 per year decrease to the city. That means that if we have 1 year of average growth, the city would be expected to come up with the difference in land, materials, or what have you, of about $40,000 when a park development became necessary.
So roughly you're saying that ultimately the city, you're saying the taxpayers, who raise the funds to do everything that we do.
Correct, and unless we can get grants or land or something like that.
Okay, so I just want everybody to realize that's $40,000 a year the taxpayers are going to have to come up with for this developer break. That's all I had.
Councilperson Watson and then Mutchler.
I guess so. I'm trying to understand. So $40,000 in 2014, $40,000 in 2015, and then some increment of that. So almost $100,000?
Well,
no?
In 2000.
It's about 40 and 20.
40 and 20.
2015, we're even.
Okay. So 60, roughly. 60,000. Okay.
Yeah. Over the 2 years.
Okay. Thank you.
Councilperson Mutchler?
She asked. It was answered.
Councilperson Hansen?
But to follow that just a bit further, it's not cash necessarily. It can be in-kind work. It can be other organizations working in parks. If the BMX goes, it counts. If, as the Veterans Memorial Park is completed out in Griffintown, it counts. There's a lot of ways to get to this other than cash.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
In-kind donation.
Yep. Okay, so further questions on the amendment. We have some audience members that may want to speak. I guess they can speak on the amendment and the main motion. So we have the amendment before you. That's what will be voted on next, and then the main motion. So anyone from the audience would like to speak or come forward? Okay, seeing none, our parks chairman has left. Okay, on the amendment, everyone understands the amendment. We finally got to that. Councilperson Goodrich's amendment. All in favor of the amendment, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
No.
Aye.
Okay, that motion carries.
Roll.
I think I only saw two. Did I see two?
I was a no. It was 4-3,
Watson,
I believe.
Watson, Ingram, and Olson, no.
And no.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
I thought you heard you say aye, too.
I heard aye.
Yeah.
He says aye when you ask.
Okay, on discussion on the main motion, which is
the
staff recommendation.
Did the motion fail or pass?
It failed.
Okay.
So the amendment failed. We're on the main motion with the amounts. Basically, the amounts, they would go into effect as soon as this motion, then five days?
After publication, yeah. So next Monday?
Next Monday.
And that's a staff recommendation. Discussion on that motion. Councilperson Zimmerman.
Well, I certainly know where Brent's coming from, wanting to ease the burden. It's a couple hundred bucks, but again, we have mechanisms to help negate that through in-kind donations, and I'm kind of like Keith that, hey, if we're going to really maximize the impact for future parks, we need some, just like this road tax, we need a little bit of seed money that we can go out to do some matching grant stuff. So I say let's bite the bullet and just do it all now.
Clarifications is not a couple hundred dollars, it's $437.08. Councilperson Mutchler?
That was the question. That's the jump in 5 days if this passes, correct?
Correct. $437.08. Councilperson Ingram?
But can we write that to kick in on January 1st?
You'd have
to amend the motion.
You could amend the motion. The motion before you now is voting, and it would be effective as soon as published, so it would be within 5 days, 6 days. So, but that's...
Well, I want to do it in one shot. because then the developer knows what he's going to be paying from now on, instead of having to worry about what next year and the year after that, the year after that. So I would make an amendment to the motion saying that we go to the full staff recommendation, but we have it take effect January 1, 2014.
Okay, so everyone heard that is the staff's recommendation, but the implementation is January of 2014.
Of the fees only.
Fees only. Okay, so questions or discussion on that?
I need a second. Person,
I just want to clarify.
No, you got a second. Yeah, Councilperson Watson.
I just want to clarify. So the fees for this motion, January 1st, but all the other text, all the in-kind, the rest of the ordinance basically takes effect on Monday.
Correct.
Okay.
Question. Is there an inflationary in this, or is this just a flat fee? I think it's flat. It is flat.
We didn't add it in.
Because you redo the plan.
Exactly. And in 2016, we'll be re-looking at it again. So.
Okay. Discussion on the amendment, Paul's amendment. Okay. Seeing none. Voting on the amendment. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed?
No.
Aye.
No.
Okay. I see two.
Three.
Two no.
Three.
Am I not hearing very well here?
Yeah.
It's hard because...
Yes.
People say
you're
aye,
moving your
aye
lips
when you're
something.
Even voting
yeah,
no.
I'm practicing so. Ventriloquism.
I think so. Okay. Motion carries. Okay, on the main motion, any discussion on that? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed?
Aye. Aye.
Okay, motion carries. 5-2.
5-2.
Councilperson Mutchler and Hansen. Okay.
So it passes.
Ventriloquism, that's a new one.
Sorry, it was so painful.
Okay, now, so next up is reconsideration of the border tax benefit measure. A reconsideration must be brought forward by the person that voted yes for the measure. It was brought forward by Councilperson Zimmerman. I'll go to the city clerk for the start of the discussion.
Thank you, Mayor Jensen. Council, before you... We do not yet have a motion related to reconsideration, but I just wanted to explain to you how it works, and I wrote a staff report related to that. But the council rules of procedure allow for a reconsideration of an issue previously decided if a person on the prevailing side of that vote asks for reconsideration. The rules also call for that reconsideration if it were to be approved, the issue itself, so in this case the border gas tax ballot measure, would not come back up before you until the next regular meeting. So we're talking June 3rd. My understanding of this issue is that there's concern by some members on council related to the potential exemption of a certain number of gallons of gasoline on this tax that could alleviate some of or all of the pressure on the smaller gas stations in town. I think the intent of council, for the most part, it appears, is to
clarify,
ensure that we are collecting gas fuel tax from potentially larger stations that could be constructed in the future within the city of Ferndale, and potentially one station that's here now, which is Pilot, where it's very popular. There are many motorists coming off the freeway, and I would argue there are plenty of Canadians at that station. There were questions related to the exemption.
Point of order. The clerk is testifying to on one side or other of the issue in giving the staff report. I don't think that's appropriate.
I agree. For clarification, Councilmember Hansen, the entire reason for the question regarding reconsideration is that issue. So I don't know how we would have a discussion about reconsideration without it.
I believe that the discussion right now should be on how the mechanics of a reconsideration works, not telling us whether or not Canadians are shopping at a particular gas station.
Fair enough. So the way reconsideration works is one council member needs to move on the prevailing side to reconsider the issue. A second can come from any member of the council. You do not have to be on the prevailing side. You would then have debate regarding, I guess, just reconsideration, according to Councilmember Hansen's argument. I do agree with that, but the issue before you is related to a specific question about why this is being reconsidered. So I wanted to provide you with factual information related to that. That's fine. I won't do that. I leave it to the council.
Okay, Councilor Zimmerman.
I'll move that we reconsider this issue.
I second.
Is that enough of a
as a discussion. Wording.
The clerk, the clerk will put the.
Yes. He'll do his magic.
Okay, so it's moved in second. Open for discussion. I know I have audience members that I'd like to speak to. So discussion by council. Councilperson Watson?
I just want to clarify. The only thing we're going to be discussing is whether or not on June 3rd we are going to reopen this issue. Correct?
Correct.
So this, it's not about a discussion of where you what you think. It's just do you want to bring this up again?
Right.
Correct?
That is correct.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, discussion by council. Now, so help for the mayor here. So for members of the public,
we just limited it severely. Whether or not they want to reconsider, that's it.
Yeah.
That's all.
So
that's
the,
what the motion is, though.
Yeah,
the
that's what the
is
motion
not
is.
Whether or not to pass the gas.
So the public could actually, I'm not trying to try to put words in the mouths of the public. The public could simply just stand up and say, I agree with you reconsidering it, or I don't agree.
Yeah.
I mean, am I correct?
The motion is debatable because the underlying motion was debatable.
Yes.
So yes, but we have to limit debate to reconsideration.
I agree or I disagree.
Correct.
Yes.
But don't they say why they agree or disagree?
No. No. No, they do not.
I can't disagree.
Sure.
No.
That's fine.
Okay, Councilperson Goodrich.
To be honest with you, I have no idea how to vote on this because of why would we be reconsidering it? Is that a valid question to ask? Because unless they know why we're reconsidering it, then I don't know whether or not we really need to do it or not.
Well, in the clerk's defense, he was trying to tell us why.
It's okay. I'm not a fan. I completely
understood what Mr. Hansen was saying. I just was. If something came up with someone who thought something that may or may not be true because I can't say right now. So here we are.
I can explain. I think I can explain. So,
Councilperson Hansen, I will allow you to
pull. Don't talk about me.
The vote to reconsideration puts the motion back on the table. And it's as though the motion was never debated in the first place. Anything you want to add, amendments, any discussion that you'd like to have that wasn't had the time before, or if you'd like to repeat what was said before, any audience participation, if the consideration passes, the audience may then participate as we permit in our rules once the motion has been reconsidered. So once it's reconsidered, it's like you have not considered it, it's the measure has to be voted on again. It's the once if you vote to reconsider, and there's four votes to reconsider, because it does not take a supermajority. If there are four votes to reconsider, the motion, the original motion, is back on the table, as though it has never been debated before. That's the question.
But it can't be re-debated until the next regular meeting.
It can't, unless you want to suspend the rules.
Councilperson Mutchler?
And to answer Councilmember Goodrich's question, there is indeed, in fact, new information that was not discussed. We did not have last time. Period.
So, we would so to make sure the audience understands, we could open up the audience and they would come forward and say, "Yes, I agree with reconsidering," or "I disagree with reconsidering." Just a second. Let me finish. Then, if they voted to reconsider, then the council could vote to suspend the rules and allow discussion on an issue that was never really discussed before because we just voted it out.
Yeah, it's totally up to the council whether they want to have audience participation at this time prior to the reconsideration vote.
Okay. Councilperson Mutchler, then Watson.
And so then could council, in a sense, vote now to suspend its rules to allow the audience to speak now in a broader sense about why they're here. Because, Mayor, you asked them earlier not to speak, and they were prepared to speak an hour and a half ago. And because of the complexities of this motion, they're not going to be able to speak on the things they came to speak about now.
But I think it would be appropriate you'd have to vote to reconsider,
yeah.
And then you're
the only way we're going to get to hear these folks is if we vote to reconsider.
Okay. Oh, you can.
Yeah.
So you could make a motion to suspend the rules now.
Related to this, and then I could speak, and they could speak, and everyone could speak. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we know. So rather than have them come forward and say,
Sam, are you sure? Because we do have a motion on the floor. Is a move to suspend the rules a superior motion?
It is under your rules procedure.
Oh, okay. Fine. But that's what we're under at this point.
Yeah. So we would need a motion to suspend our rules and allow...
You can't do it. You said, right?
No, you can't.
No, you can't. He was saying you can't. So you would, a council member would need a motion and a second to suspend your rules and allow audience discussion.
I would so move that, out of respect for the audience.
I'll second that.
Okay, then move and second. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed?
No.
Aye.
Failed.
Uh-uh.
I don't think so.
No, it didn't. It was
4-3.
5-2.
People need to say no. Say aye for yes, no for no.
Yeah, it's very
you can't good. Say
it's
aye
easier. For no. Just do a roll call.
Okay, let's just do roll call vote.
Raise your hand.
Council Member Watson?
No.
So we're voting to suspend the rules?
Yes.
Correct.
Only for the audience, apparently.
No.
You suspend the rules.
Sam can speak. The audience can speak. Okay, roll call vote.
Council Member Watson?
No.
Council Member Hansen?
Yes.
Council Member Olson?
No.
Council Member Ingram?
No.
Council Member Mutzler?
Yes.
Council Member Zimmerman?
Yes.
Council Member Goodrich?
Yes.
Thank you. Carries 4-3.
Okay, so... we'll go to the audience, so it's 3 minutes, state your name and address. And
Wouldn't it be most productive to talk about the new issue, and that way the council can get a feel for the frame of the debate, as well as the audience can be informed as to what the council might actually be interested in,
okay,
in hearing
we'll,
about?
We'll have the clerk go back to what he was doing.
Mayor, I'd like to request like a 2-minute break.
Hmm?
Please.
Oh, a 2-minute break?
Please.
Okay.
We need to get the high school.
Get the high school guys.
There's a few of them in the back.
This will probably go beyond 8 o'clock, I would guess.
Yeah, you're correct. All right, we'll go 5-minute break. We'll get the high school students out of here. Okay, so 5-minute recess. Okay, after 10 breaks, we're going to sit down.
Excellent, Carol.
Dog petting breaks, cupcake breaks.
Mr. Chairman, a point of parliamentary inquiry.
Councilperson Hansen.
Would it not be more expedient at this point in time to have the council debate whether or not there should be a reconsideration and yep. take that vote? If the vote is successful to reconsider, then open up the discussion not only to the council but to the audience under the change of rules. As opposed to now debating two issues at once. One is to reconsider. The other is whether or not to originally have the gas tax. So it's my opinion, and I will put that in the form of a motion, because that the council alone debate reconsideration.
Second.
Okay, then move and second it. Everyone understand that?
No, I don't. I apologize, Mel.
Are only going to consider right at this moment reconsideration, not the whole issue.
And then vote on it?
Yes.
So then that would leave the possibility that those folks don't get to speak.
Yes.
Not necessarily.
But
possibly.
We could still vote as a council to allow them to speak.
Before we vote?
Not necessarily on, it wouldn't necessarily be, it would be like them speaking at the beginning of the meeting. There had already been a decision made at the previous meeting.
So you're counting on a
they came prepared to speak tonight.
Yes.
About the action that was taken, and we could do that, whether the reconsideration passes or not. That's
okay.
Still
so
up to the council.
Does everyone understand the motion before you now is we'll move to debate on whether to reconsider or not to reconsider. Council only.
Council only.
And then we can open up later for discussion. That would kind of know
sure.
the direction of
but
the
but if that vote. If that vote fails for reconsideration, they don't get to speak.
The issue's not back on the table.
They don't get to speak.
Unless the council allows them to.
But we just
voted
5 minutes.
New rules allow them to speak.
We just voted 5 minutes and allowed them to speak.
If someone brought, yes.
Yes, now there's a motion before you.
I don't want to debate the suspension of the rules, but the suspension of the rules wasn't specific. And usually when we suspend the rules, you suspend the rules in a specific way. We didn't do that. Mm-hmm. So, essentially, we have no rules right now. None. Mm-hmm. So I'm suggesting that we bring them back one rule at a time, like let's vote on the reconsideration before we go further the next step.
And so there's a motion on the table to vote to reconsider.
Vote to
discuss.
To discuss the reconsideration and among the council and to vote on it before we open up to the floor.
Okay, everyone understand the motion that's on the floor. All in favor? Roll call vote. Signify by saying aye.
Aye or?
Councilmember Watson.
Aye.
Councilmember Hansen.
Aye.
Councilmember Olson.
Aye.
Councilmember Ingram.
Aye.
Councilmember Mutchler.
Nay.
Councilmember Zimmerman.
Aye.
Councilmember Goodrich.
Aye.
Okay, motion carries. Councilperson Watson.
Just as a, I don't know whether we're ready to begin debate. Councilmember Mutchler said there was new information. I personally don't believe there is new information, and I'm wondering if perhaps the clerk could discuss the issue at hand. There is an issue that has come up where Councilmember Mutchler believes that something is illegal, and I do think that for people that didn't necessarily understand that, I think you need to explain whether there is what this issue theoretically might be. And I know I'm not explaining myself well because I'm trying to limit what I'm saying.
I believe council can always ask questions of staff. That's your purview. That's even regarding this debate. It's your purview to ask questions of staff.
Okay. Is there anything illegal about the gas tax, or is there anything illegal to keep us from doing exemptions? Should council at a future date wish to look at exemptions for stations?
Based on the legal advice we received from the city attorney's office, there's nothing illegal and there's nothing in current case law that would prevent us from doing an exemption. However, Ms. Traxler did say that she would feel more comfortable if the council were to include the exemption within the ballot measure language itself as opposed to putting an ordinance. Though she said she felt you could do it, but she termed herself a worrywart. She's here to look out for the community's best interests the pocketbook of the city. She would be more comfortable with it being wrapped into the ballot measure itself so voters have a direct say over the exemption. But she also said you could do it on your own. So in my view, either way works. And kind of what we always tell council is at any time someone could challenge you legally on any of your decisions. And this is no different than any of those times.
So we voted on a specific wording for the resolution. Would we at a future date, should we wish to do exemptions, have to vote to have a different wording of that resolution?
This is tricky. Technically, I think you have to bring it up via reconsideration. The motion's already been approved. I've already been directed to submit this to the auditor's office. Okay. The only reason I haven't yet is because it's August when our deadline, and so we just simply haven't done it. If I had already submitted it, I believe that you probably couldn't even have done reconsideration because under Roberts, if there's an action already taken based on a motion, I don't think you can do reconsideration. Now, your rules of procedure are more general, so that's where we kind of get into that gray area.
Yeah. I'd add here, too, that we could actually bring back an ordinance with the exemption language in it prior to the vote in August with the language in the ordinance being...
November.
Yeah.
With language in the ordinance stating that naturally if the vote fails, then the ordinance would have no force in effect. Mm-hmm. So we could effect the same change, if you will, by this body establishing what they consider to be the appropriate, if any, exemption.
I'm personally more comfortable with that. It's similar to what we did with the library levy. We put the levy out there, will you do this, and then we explained, then we met later and explained that we would be using the solid waste tax to pay for it, and that would be basically doing the same thing. Here is a question. If you vote yes, this is what's going to happen. There will be an exemption.
Councilperson Mutchler, Goodrich, and then Hansen.
I'd like to talk about the exemption in two ways. In one way is a Trojan horse to me. One way is that we leave it up to council. I want to talk about that way. Then I want to talk about where we actually put it on the ballot measure. In fact, I'll do the other one first. I asked the question, and this is what's new about this, and this is frustrating to me.
I asked the question of staff 2.5 weeks ago in committee, can we include that component in the ballot measure for an exemption? Because I knew that would be more palatable to everybody. And I was told by staff, we cannot do that. The state of Washington, RCW, does not authorize us to do that. Now we're being told that we can do that. In fact, our city attorney is telling us we ought to do that. And I might just concur that I have talked to Representative Jason Overstreet to check with his staff, and they said if you do that, you need to include it in the ballot. They recommend that as well. So we were told one thing, now we're told something different. That's my problem with putting it on the ballot, whether we can do it or not, and why wasn't I told we could do that 2 weeks ago when I asked the question? The other part of the question is, whether we don't do that, run a clean bill, which I believe at least three council members prefer sending it to the voters, just clean, no exemptions, that means it's up to any council to change that. This council could change it. The next council could change it. And let me do a hypothetical with you. Let's say we decide this year it's 25,000 gallons, and then next year it's 50,000 gallons, and then we get a different council, and we go down to 0 gallons. What if a council comes along and says, we're going to make it 1 million gallons, and thus making the law impotent? I believe by doing that, you've negated the will of the voters. I think leaving the council is a huge problem, and this council should not vote a measure that leaves it up to council whether we have an exemption. If there's going to be an exemption, it needs to be in the bill that's sent to the voters. And we can't decide that tonight. Is it 20,000? Is it 100,000? I would like to see the reconsideration passed, the council rules and procedures taken over, and we come at it in 2 weeks with an exemption amount that might pass. This is a bad deal for us, folks, to pass it the way it is right now. I might have more to say, but that ends it for now.
I would like to go ahead with the reconsideration just because I want to get, we're dancing around this thing. But if we reconsider it, then we can open it up back to full discussion. We don't have to dance around and say, well, can we really talk about this now or not, or, type of a thing. I would just like to call for the question and that's vote on this and decide one way or another if we're going to pursue this.
I'll second Brent's motion to move the previous question. Is that what that was?
Yes.
Okay.
It's not debatable, no discussion.
Mm-hmm. Question then? So
no discussion on the motion. We have to vote on this motion.
Yes, not
this is a,
we immediately go to vote.
I can't.
No.
Okay. I'll just ask.
It's a motion to stop debate.
I understand. I'm not allowed to ask the clerk to read the motion.
Oh, sure.
Councilmember Goodrich moved to call for the question, and Councilmember Hansen seconded the motion.
Thank you.
Okay, roll call vote.
Councilmember Watson.
Aye.
Councilmember Hansen.
Aye.
Councilmember Olson.
Aye.
Councilmember Ingram.
Aye.
Councilmember Mutchler.
Aye.
Councilmember Zimmerman.
Aye.
Councilmember Goodrich.
Aye.
Unanimous.
Carries. 7-0. Okay.
So the question now is
reconsideration. Yes.
Would you also read the motion again, please?
Clarification question. This is not expressing an opinion of how we're going to vote on a gas tax. This is simply to move it forward to the next meeting.
A point of order that there should be no discussion at this point. I'm sorry, but that's the way it is. We have to take a vote now.
Motion to reconsider if we need to vote.
Roll call vote.
Councilmember Watson?
No.
Councilmember Hansen?
Aye.
Councilmember Olson?
No.
Councilmember Ingram?
No.
Councilmember Mutchler?
Aye.
Councilmember Zimmerman?
Aye.
Councilmember Goodrich?
Aye.
Thank you. Okay, 4-3. So we are reconsidering this issue that is on the table. The table is open.
That's next.
On June 3rd.
Mr. Chairman, a point of, once again, parliamentary clarification. This council voted half hour ago to suspend the rules. At that time, I thought the suspension of the rules was to allow folks to talk, tonight as opposed to waiting, because our rules say this issue should be next week or in the next council meeting, not in this council meeting. So by suspending the rules by the vote, we're going to actually listen to testimony tonight. We don't necessarily have to vote tonight.
Right.
But we do have to take testimony and debate.
Thank you.
You are correct.
Chair, clarification then. So we could vote on the gas tax tonight because we've completely suspended all the rules? We're not waiting.
I believe you could. Someone can make a motion.
So,
technically, the motion is back in front of you in the next meeting. Someone would need to make a motion to bring it to this meeting, I believe.
So, right now, the issue for you is audience participation. I think it's time to bring
Actually, Sam, I'm going to disagree with you.
Yeah.
By reconsideration, the motion is back on the table. The motion, as it was stated
yes.
2 weeks ago, is back on the table. The normal course of parliamentary would be to take testimony, then vote. The council could postpone the vote to a time certain.
Are you making this statement based on the fact that you already suspended your own rules?
I'm making that we've suspended the rules. However, by voting to reconsider, we put the motion back on the table. It's on the table right now.
But your rules state reconsideration now goes, or the motion's back on the table at the next meeting. So the motion's not on the floor right now to have debate.
By our own rules, it has to come to third.
Those are your rules.
Okay, you're right. I'm sorry. You were correct.
Okay, but so we can allow.
And it's up to you whether you want to allow testimony now.
Correct.
You don't have to. It's always up to the council.
So a formal vote to allow discussion?
No, it's their meeting. So
yeah,
if they can decide in whatever form they
want. So you can have just debate now. You can suspend the rules again and bring it back this meeting. It's up to you.
At the end of the debate tonight, when everybody's done saying their piece, someone could make a motion to put the gas tax on with a million-gallon exemption.
Yes,
correct.
That could be put on the floor.
Councilor, move this forward. I would like a vote on to allow public comment.
We
did it.
Well, they did. Okay.
We can do it.
Right, let's go to
Thank you.
Audience participation.
I got a question first.
I'm sorry, but this is very confusing. This is a cluster. I'm just sorry.
Yeah. One of the issues is whether or not to put a gallon exemption on or amending the text of the ballot initiative for an exemption. I don't think we are in a position tonight to make that final decision. I would like, if the testimony from the audience could give us some guidance in that, but I'd hate to see us doing one of the things that unfortunately this council has done before. Here's a number. It's this.
Pull the numbers
to clarify, Councilor I agree with you. I did request of the station owners documentation related to their numbers so that I could try to provide you with information related to an exemption. And one of the owners did say they would provide me with the information, although I asked them to get it to me by May 27th, thinking I was bringing you an ordinance related to an exemption in June. So they were given time, and the time hasn't expired.
Well, I just thought if any of the owners or people are getting up here tonight to talk to us, if they could possibly address that or give us some direction in that, I would appreciate it.
Councilperson Watson.
I'm trying to understand why we're going to have these people come up and speak when council is not in a position to create an ordinance. I mean, you want to create the words tonight, and you want to have...
Because you voted to allow it.
Okay. Well, then they can talk, and I guess they can come back June 3rd and talk again.
Yes, they could.
Whatever.
Okay. So the council voted to talk. Now, as you'll notice from the audience, is we've started on a new course of trying to be polite. So the council is going to be polite. Audience is polite. So name, you can raise your hand. 3-minute limit, state your name and address, and politely state your statement. I'm not going to open where the council debates with you. I think we've done enough of that. So, who wants to put their hand up first? Oh, come on. Now it's got to be
tough.
Don't listen to each other.
Brave.
All right, then.
Welcome.
Thank you, Yvonne.
Yeah.
Good evening again, Council. Yvonne Goldsmith, 5840 Church Road. And I came tonight to talk about community, Ferndale. And some of us have served. We love our community. And I want to talk about how we treat our community. And I think putting more tax on the back of community takes business out of it. There's a headline this past week about the Lummies and the city of Ferndale not being able to put a shopping center together. I don't read the paper, but I glanced and saw this headline. And it's because we're getting too many fees, too many taxes, too much loaded in at the bottom line. And we got to quit doing this. We've got to start negotiating and working together. I think it's terrible that we insulted a community member that's a giver and not a taker of our community, a giver to our community. And I'm asking you in this reconsideration to find that vote that says, no, you're not going to give us more taxes. I called the auditor today to talk about the price of another issue on the ballot, and she told me it cost about $5.62.5 to put another issue on the ballot, only because in a general election, when that's where you're putting it, she has to bring in another level of staff. And I've been one of those people called in on the extra level of staff. And so she very quickly, her name's Debbie, if you want to check with her, gave me the figures, and I had my husband do the math. The money you're going to make putting in this tax is the same money that it's going to cost you to add it to the ballot. And it doesn't make sense to me. And I'm tired of being taxed. And so I'm saying no new taxes. And you're not getting it. We don't buy tax. The majority of us do not buy our gas here in town. I was buying gas in Bellingham where it had no ethanol in it because I got better gas mileage. Now everybody has ethanol. But I buy my gas out of here because we're too expensive already. And I can get better pricing in town, in Bellingham, who I hate to do business with. So please, reconsider. Do not put tax on us again. There's been too many taxes put on us recently.
Can I ask a question?
Councilor Zimmerman?
Yvonne, what was that number of the ballot cost?
For an example, she...
I'll go for, because I don't know who she talked to, but I'll go for clarification.
There are costs related to every item on the ballot, but they did change the way they calculated for our bill to the city. It used to be that it was the mathematical calculation of our registered voters, their staff time, and how many items we had on the ballot. Since 2010, I believe, they have changed it to where the number of items on the ballot is no longer part of the calculation. So by placing this on a special election, say in April, it can be very costly because we're the only one on the ballot, no matter how many issues. By placing it on a general election ballot, especially in an odd year like this, we're already going to have candidates on the ballot, so our costs will not be increased. We'll still have an election bill because we have to pay for the candidates running for office.
So it's a zero cost?
Yes.
Okay. That's huge.
Okay. Councilperson Watson?
And I just want to clarify, Ms. Goldsmith, the Lummi conversation did not fall apart because of our fees. Our fees had nothing to do with it. There was a whole other issue.
It's pretty simple. I don't mind saying to the public again, it fell apart because of a dispute over 75-25 share of tax or 50-50 share of tax and the expansion of tribal trusts. We wanted to basically stop it at a certain level. I don't mind saying the statement again. Because I disagree with the chairman, and I've told him making the statement that his tribal land extends from the Cascades to the sea. That's a pretty strong statement, and it should scare the heck out of everyone.
And then that's why it fell. It was revenue sharing and them wanting to bring land in the city into trust, and we couldn't come to an agreement, and that's why it had nothing to do with our fees.
Okay.
So
no new taxes. Absolutely none.
Okay, next up. Welcome.
Thank you. Victor Bulow, 6178 Evergreen Way, Ferndale, Washington.
Most of you already know me. I spoke here before regarding the gas tax. I'm definitely against it. And one thing that Sam brought up earlier when he was speaking here, he's referring to the pilot. He says, I see tons of Canadians. And again, it's very easy to look at plates and see, but I don't think the city has done an actual study to see how many Canadians come through Ferndale to actually see the numbers that you guys think you can collect only from Canadians. Okay? Another consideration you guys not taking the fact that most of you saw last week in the Bellingham Herald, Costco is building right on the Pacific Highway, and they're planning to build Pacific Highway in Bakerview. Well, that being even closer to our area, that's going to pull even more customers, local customers, from us away. You are just looking at the broad sense of the picture. When you're talking about gas, you think about oil companies. You don't look at the individual business owner that has to look every day at their books to see if they're red or black. We have to do that every single day. One of the most volatile businesses there is out there. Prices change sometimes twice, three times a day, and we have to maneuver fast enough to keep our stores afloat. Not only that, when the local members of our community come for money for fundraisers or donations, they definitely come to us. You ever tried to go into Walgreens or Rite Aid or any of the other places that do have Canadians coming and shopping, you know, mostly every day, the process they go through and get those donations? Well, we do that for our community. By you implementing this tax, you don't take away our ability to give back to our community. And I think you guys aren't taking that consideration. It's so easy to pick a single industry and tax them. You guys are going to stand here and tell me that Walgreens, Haggins, Rite Aid, McDonald's, Burger King, whatever we have in town, are not benefiting from the Canadian traffic? I think it would be more fair to the city council to elaborate how, if you don't tax us, let's tax the entire, and not just one particular industry, but entire commerce. Because right now you single out only a single industry that is very difficult already to make ends meet. Especially when you're competing with Costco and Fred Meyer's, they use their fuel. They use their fuel as a loss leader, not as a profit center. We need our fuel to make our money, and our margins are very slim as is with credit card fees. So really consider, you know, taking away, not passing this tax. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you. Next, right here. Welcome.
Anil Sharma, 2218 Sunrise Street, Ferndale, Washington. I own a gas station, Shell, right on Main and Lavowney, and I would ask all of you to reconsider this, increasing the tax, because just like Victor said, I'm not going to repeat the same thing over and over. We're a small business owner. We're trying to survive. Things are not good. And by adding that, at the end of the day, we are going to end up paying that. Some people may think, you know, it's actually customer. The way we price, it's going to end up coming out of our pocket. And in turn, it could be thousands of dollars. That means maybe a job for somebody. You may take away from me because I may have to look at my numbers. If I'm in red, obviously I cannot survive. So I may have to let somebody go or cut their hours. And this is not the time where we need people laid off. I mean, we're trying to keep people, everybody afloat. So please consider. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Hand up there. Welcome.
Gene Goldsmith, 5840 Church Road. I've made my living in the political world for 40 years. I'm an expert on most things. I had people in the legislature say, what do? Sit around and read all day? And I said, yes, that's what I do. I remember years ago when I was working with the U.S. Chamber, I was back at a chamber meeting with Governor Engler. Governor Engler had taken over the state of Michigan and cut taxes, and revenue went up. And he cut taxes, and revenue went up. He cut taxes 60 times in his first 4 years as governor, and every time, revenue went up. And I said to him, I said, Governor, when do you think that you cut taxes and you're actually going to lose revenue? And I remember his comment to me, he says, I'll let you know when we're getting close. Reagan cut taxes. Revenue doubled in the 8 years, Ronald Reagan. You raise taxes, your revenue is going to decrease. You're not going to raise revenue. People change their habits. When you lower taxes, people spend money. They don't when you raise it. Thank you.
Welcome. Jessica Saul, 1988 Edgefield Drive, Bellingham, Washington. After reading the council's report regarding the exemption, I did my own research to find out whether or not that was provided for in the law.
Closer, please.
And how that could actually be enacted. I agree with some of the opinions that were voiced that it could completely rob the ordinance of the city of the intent of the voters if it were to add an exemption that wasn't provided for in the original language. However, I'm not sure that the language of the law itself allows for section exemption. I think that there's a lot of questions that need to be answered before either one of those things could be proposed. But another thing I did was I called some of the business owners in Sumas that do have this tax. And what I was told is that it is something that they eat because of the stores that are there. There's one store, a corporate-owned store, where the price is set by an individual in Texas that sets the price on the street. And Canadians will drive down that road and drive back to the store that is 1 cent cheaper. And there are months where they don't make money on gas because they cannot raise it above that cost. And that is certainly something that will be borne by the business owners here in town, especially as they compete with Blaine and Custer and Linden and Bellingham. And it becomes then a tax on those businesses, those 10 or 12 businesses, and those 10 or 12 people that end up paying it. And it's no longer a tax, the purpose of which would be for Canadian motorists. And I understand the intent of the exemption. I think that, in theory, it's a great idea. However, then it's a tax on pilot. And if it could be enacted, again, I'm not sure. But then, again, that's not the legislative intent, which is a tax on Canadian motorists, which, as discussed already, should be borne by a greater portion of the local commerce than just a particular industry where it falls on the shoulders of 10 or 12 people in the community. Thank you.
Thank you. So over here, I think back there I had a hand up. Did I miss someone? Bob, behind you? I thought. No? I did? Okay. So up here then? Thank you. Sure. Welcome.
Thank you. Daniel Bell, 2459 Heights Drive, Ferndale, Washington. I was going across the border last week with a load of merchandise that was headed for Point Roberts. And they signaled our driver's side and said, I'm sorry, but you're going to have to pay $100 in formal entry fee to get your merchandise to Point Roberts. And most of the reason that was brought about was simply because the newspapers present the story of what we do with Canadians and the impact that that makes on the community. So the border folks have just decided, well, we'll just implement the law we know to be. Therefore, business is going to get tough in Point Roberts. So we create these issues. Maybe we think it's Canadians. But the truth is that the facts are, is I just as soon buy my gas in Ferndale as I go to work, as to have to take it out of the pocket of the business owners that are here that need that penny. I mean, it's incredible that we pick out 10 or 12 business owners, because if you guys think that the Canadians, they're going to do exactly the same thing that the citizens of our community are going to do. We're going to go where we think we need to go to survive, to pay our bills, to pay our light bills. So adding taxes upon taxes upon taxes to justify our expenditures as a city is ludicrous from a standpoint of what we're trying to accomplish as a community. We're driving our business owners and our businesses out of our communities by doing so because of our expenses that we cannot control. Why is that? I'm in business in Bellingham. I live in Ferndale. But it's amazing. Reality always wins, and math is part of that reality. We have to pay. The reality is if I can't keep it in black, we have to close our doors or we have to lay people off. He's exactly right. People can't afford to employ more people, to spend money in Ferndale, to accelerate our taxes here. I've said enough, but I just, that penny may seem small to all of you folks, but the news that goes across the radio stations and the newspapers of what we're doing, I think is going to pay dividends in a lot worse ways than you guys might think. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Anyone else from the audience? One more? Oh, okay. I got to go right after Bob. He was a little bit faster.
Thank you, Council, Mayor. Bob Bell, 2085 Main Street. You've heard a lot from me, so I won't take a lot of your time. I've owned stations from Blaine into Ferndale here and over to Linden over my career of 36 years that I've been in the county. And one of the things I did, and one of the reasons I got out of the Blaine market, is because the Canadians do go away. And when they go away, it's pretty devastating. But it's a cycle. It always happens. And so about 50% of the time, the stations that cater to the Canadians, the border sites, will do well. Half the time, the other half, they're in trouble. And stations close, people go out of business. Just like this tax, if the Canadians go away, we still have to pay the tax. I think the gentleman that talked about laying people off, certainly that would be the case. 40, 50% of our volume has gone away in the last 10 years. And any of you that understand business will understand that obviously we're not in a position where we're growing, where we're making a lot of money. We're a business that is having a tough time, not only because of Costco and because of the pilot and so on and so forth. We're also losing money because now the tribal interests are coming in. They're selling tobacco way below our wholesale price. They're selling gasoline way below our wholesale price. And that's coming to Ferndale. And it's already in other communities. In Skagit County, there's several communities that have that problem. Around the state, there's a lot of them. So our problems aren't over if this tax isn't passed. But at least we want to stay in business. I've been here 36 years. I understand the business. We will pay the tax. And if anybody wants to challenge that, I'll be happy to sit down with them and discuss with them at length why that's the case. Thank you.
Thank you. Manuel, welcome, sir.
Manuel Reta, 2432 Fieldview Drive. I just happened to walk in about 15 minutes ago, and I heard everything's going, whatever, you know. But, you know, I am not for tax increase whatsoever. The time in we will live right now is not the time. Maybe 2 years from now, 3 years from now, I think it would be considered. Our economy, and I'm also talking as a Washington State Hispanic Commissioner, as most of you know. I was down in Spokane this weekend, 2 months ago I was down in Mattawa. I know how it's all going throughout the state. Economic development-wise, as far as I'm concerned, this is not a time for a tax increase. And I hope you understand, too, that most of these individuals here, and I'm hoping you all support our gas stations, by raising that tax is going to send a message to the community as far as where each one of you stand, as mayor, as a councilman, which I duly respect each one of you. Each one of you is accountable to the community who voted for you to be in this place. So again, no increase in tax of you, please. Thank you.
Thanks, sir. Anyone else? Welcome, sir.
First and foremost, I am not an expert on all things. And number two, I apologize if I'm not as eloquent as I normally am because I'm exhausted from the event this weekend. I obviously was not here last 2 weeks when you guys decided that. For those of you, most of you, I think I've talked to most of you about this.
Can we get your name on the record?
Guy at Chigrasso, Ferndale Chamber of Commerce, 5683 2nd Avenue. Thank you for the reminder. Exactly. I'm exhausted. I apologize. For those of you who didn't know, we are located right next door,
And for quite a number of years, we cohabitated the office space with a local business owner who was up here speaking just a moment ago, who happens to own a Ferndale gas station. Provided me with a little bit of in-depth knowledge of the operations of that industry. And I can't say that a 1 cent gas station would kill them, but I can tell you that it would hurt. But one of the aspects that I am confused as to the implementation of this tax, from what I can see, the roads that the Canadians use, which was the initial aspect of this tax, are pretty okay at this point. Main Street's doing good. The structure, the infrastructure that we need fixing, and if you look at the list, most of them are residential roads. The Canadians who are paying this tax, or who this tax was originally created for, are not driving on those roads. So, bearing that in mind, and another aspect is I would look, and for those of you that heard me rambling on Facebook and other places in conversation, we have a huge retail tax loss in our community. We've talked about it at length. Some can argue retail options are contributing to that. Some could say we are a bedroom community, and most of our residents not only live and shop and play outside of this community, they also fuel up and shop for everyday items as well, groceries. So if we can assume that we lose such a large percentage of our retail tax dollars outside of this community, it's a pretty good assumption that we lose a lot of our fuel consumers to the larger big box fuel stations that might be right next to someone's work in Bellingham. So it seems a little unfair that we are proposing a gas tax for residential roads almost exclusively to a minimal portion of the Ferndale resident base. Thank you.
Good job. Okay, next, anyone else? We would love to have you come forward, sir. Welcome.
I'm Sam Bolas, and I live at 2600 Sam Bolas Place in Ferndale. Now, I lived here for the last 33 years. And my first station was in Washington, in the state of Washington, was in Ferndale. And it's very dear to me. I go by there and have coffee every morning, and I don't want to lose it. And the few thousand dollars that you're going to take away from me by adding this penny tax, no, it's not going to break me. It's not going to put me under. I'm much bigger than that. And I'm not against paying taxes. When taxes are legit and they're applied to everyone in the city, not to Sam Wallace, not to Bob Bell, not to Anil. There's 10 of us. We are going to pay the taxes. He brought the levies. 4 or 5 years ago, our ex-governor added the $10 tax on cigarettes and then signed a compact with the lummies, and their volume went from 400 to 5,000 cartons per week. And I know that for a fact because I supply them. And you know what? Each carton is $30 per carton in state tax. Who lost it? The state lost it. And I and Anil and all those guys that we sell cigarettes, that's all that tobacco business went to them. We pay 95% tobacco tax. They pay zilch. So they go around and pay it at 10% over their wholesale price, which is already 85% below our cost. Anyway, their gas tax is 28 cents cheaper than us. So there's 28 cents advantage to them. And they're coming up. Their plan is to put another gas station down below the sign, the $1 million sign. We run branded stations. We don't have unbranded. Most of the guys here except for a couple. Our price, 80% of the time, is 15 to 25 cents more expensive than the unbranded, whether it's Pilot or whoever, unbranded site. You know, the bottom line, you're taxing 10 people. You're not taxing the community. You're not taxing the Canadian. You're going to put it out to the voters. They, you know, they hate Canadians. Unfortunately, if we didn't have Canadians in this county, retail wouldn't
You know, we wouldn't have the retail. And yes, I made money in this county because of the Canadians. I'm sorry, but this is where my money made. I made my money in Blaine. I made money in Sumas. I made money in Linden, where the Canadians back in the 80s and the early 90s were coming. And yes, they're coming again. And if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't have business in this county. And that's what supports us. That's the bottom line. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mayor? We're going to do for debate. So.
I just want to tell Mr. Bullis never to apologize for making money. I don't like that at all. I want to commend him for being successful. I'm really tired of people ripping people that are successful. I just want to say that once.
Any more members in the audience would like to come forward? Okay, I think we've exhausted that. Council, just for point of reference, Councilperson Hansen and myself attended the Council of Governments meeting. The 10 cents per gallon by a legislature is still on the special session agenda. I'll get on my soapbox and complain about the efficiency of government. Sometimes that statement, we're the government, we're here to help. The first proposal was a distribution of the new 10 cents by population with no strings attached. Would have been a nice deal. Mm-hmm. Ferndale would have gotten their share. We have known our share. But our government decided not to do that, so the new proposal is it goes through the Traffic Improvement Board, and we'll be begging for our share of the 10 cents if it goes forward once again, and we would not get our share, and I'm just not really happy about that, but that's the way life goes. So the issue is before you as the council right now. Councilperson Ingram.
I would like
now, before we go, we've done a great job of being very polite and very nice, so let's go on our new theme.
Thanks for reminding us.
Councilperson Ingram.
I would like to move this back through the committees and bring it back before the regular meeting on June the 3rd. I think discussion tonight was excellent, but I see no point in trying to make a decision at this hour with our brains kind of leaking already. So I would move to take this back through the committees and bring it back to our next regular meeting.
Second.
Okay, been moved and seconded. Discussion on that. Councilperson Mutchler.
I just want to say one thing to my colleagues, Ingram and Olson and Watson and Zimmerman. I'm really glad Yvonne's here, by the way. She's, in a sense, a mentor. She was a council member here when I was still in diapers, I think. It was a long time ago. But, by the way, and I appreciated her. I appreciated her for commending Lloyd. Some of you haven't been around here very long, but Lloyd and Yvonne ran against each other, and it's very gracious that she commended Lloyd. And that election was a landslide, wasn't it?
Yeah, world famous.
That was a famous, nationally recognized election because it ended in an absolute tie and a coin flip. And how'd that work out for you?
Well, it made my mother's life. She passed away at 84, but when she woke up one morning and heard her son's name being on Paul Harvey, she thought she was dreaming.
So okay, this is all nice. Are we speaking to the
nation? I learned one from Yvonne Goldsmith, among other things, is to do your damn homework. And I in the last week, I did the following, and I'm challenging my colleagues to do the same thing. I met every small station owner in Ferndale. There are 10 stations you count. Three are, one is Pilot, one is Pride. They're more corporate. There's the Farmers Co-op, which is kind of a unique situation. There are seven stations. I'm going to tell you who you're going to meet, and I want you to look them. Want you to look them in the eye. I want you to ask them who pays for that tax. I met Paul up at Grandview. He's, by the way, I'd like to go to these places. He's from Fiji, I found out. I met this older couple, and I won't get their names right. Narain and Munzi. I think they may be in their 70s. They were both working there. They're from Fiji. They're at the cell station at 263, and I talked to them, and they're not here tonight, I don't think, but they're terrified by this.
John, you're not going to like this, but I'm going to question the parliamentary because you're not speaking to the motion.
The motion is to have a reason to wait till 2 weeks. I'm asking.
No, the motion is to wait.
The motion is
to move back to committee, and then
go talk to these people, please.
And quite a few of us do our homework, Mr. Mutchler, just so you know.
So we're stopping all discussion.
Yeah, we can talk later.
So the motion before is we're going to move this back to committee.
And then to a future council
meeting.
Yeah. And to a future council meeting. Can we speak on the motion?
Yes.
Councilperson Goodrich.
Are we just sending this back, or are we looking for – I'm not sure what direction we're giving the committee
We don't give committee.
We don't. Or that would be the, for the committee to decide. Okay.
Which committee?
We don't. Financial administration.
Point discussion of, on the motion.
Point of information. Was the motion to bring it back the third?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I thought I heard that.
The motion
so that
to the committee and then back to the next council meeting. Okay. On the motion, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. Motion carries. Okay. So it's back to committee. Okay. Reconsider. Okay. Mayor reports. Actually, so before we go, nice job. We did a good job. Everyone was polite. Group hug afterwards. Okay, mayor reports. Cleanup day in Ferndale. Not as well attended, but a great job. It always hurts the volunteer effort to have rain, but a great job. Thank you for coming. We did lots of cleanup. Thank you. I had a great crew of volunteers. Good job. I want to be really proud of our police department. Is on Thursday night, I got a call at 9:30 at home from the Freedom Riders, and they had a deal to honor a vet. Fighters who were going out, trying to do the business for the people. And they wanted to ride to Ferndale, and they wanted a police escort. I don't know of any city, Chief Knapp isn't here, but I don't know of any city that I can call the police chief at 10 o'clock at night and say, can you figure out a way to shut all the lights on Main Street at 12:15 on Saturday morning? He went, well, I'm the police chief. I guess I do. But I don't know too many cities that can do that. And that was pretty neat. And we had all the Cub Scouts lined up, and I got a great email from the Freedom Riders, and he said, Gary, you made me cry. I was crying on the ride. And then we rode by to see a line of little Cub Scouts saluting. He goes, that got me. I was okay. He says, now I'm heading to I-5 and I'm crying because here's a bunch of little Cub Scouts saluting. And that's, I don't know.
That's good.
It's just a cool thing. So I don't, not too many cities can do that. Again, we apologize, man. We're hammering you guys a lot. We have the joint meeting coming up. I'm sure you're going to talk about it.
48 hours, less than 48.
Yeah. You're going to max your pay. You're way below minimum wage, but thank you.
So if we're already at maximum, we don't have to show up?
No.
I've already got my six meetings, so I'm just saying.
Personal apology by the mayor. I finished the city cleanup. My wife wasn't home to make sure I'm able, and I laid down on the floor and fell asleep, and I was supposed to attend an Eagle Scout presentation at 7 o'clock that night. My wife came and kicked me in the feet and said, why are you laying on the rug in the middle of the living room at 10:30 at night? So I guess without my wife, I screw up completely. So I apologize. I'm apologizing to the Eagle Scouts in Ferndale. Okay, council reports. Councilperson Mutchler.
Sam doesn't like election-related stuff here, but I think this one will work. I am a proud dad whose daughter, Emma Lynn, at Whatcom Community College is campaigning for a class president with the college. So couldn't be prouder. So if you know anybody out there, her name is Emma Lynn. Sorry, Sam.
Councilperson Ingram.
Well, I just want to tell you that our son came up from Seattle, and we immediately put him to work in city cleanup.
I thought he was
going
to he actually said that was just one hell of a lot of fun, because he's never lived in a small town.
Yeah.
He's grown up all his life in larger cities where things like that just don't happen, and he just thought that was a hoot.
Yeah.
He was out there in his weird clothes and his blue hair pulling weeds and had just having a great time. So it was fun for him.
And I guess I'll refer to Councilperson Hanson. What was the Cub Scout record for hot dogs this year?
Oh, not nearly. We had one last year that was 8 or 9. And I don't think we had anybody that had more than 3.
Their leader, you know, shamed them trying to get them to not eat more than 5.
I know he did.
The growing bowl. Okay, any more council reports? Okay, staff reports.
I had 3 or 4 cans of pop, though. They should have had a sugar high the whole rest of the afternoon.
That's why they were waiting for me at the Eagle Scout presentation while I was comatose on the rug. Finance director.
Nothing.
City manager.
Nothing.
All right, you're leaving next week.
Yes.
Okay, we hope you enjoy yourself.
Yes.
Community Development Director.
Tomorrow there's a short course on local planning that City of Bellingham's putting on. Contact me if you don't have the time. It's in their council chambers sometime tomorrow.
Need a couple of spare CDs. I got two or three of those.
And again, our joint meeting is where
our joint meeting is Wednesday at 6 p.m. at Ferndale WeQ.
Great.
Will there be snacks?
So the next day there will be.
Yes.
All right, moving on. City clerk's office.
That is 5 to 7.
That's on.
What's that?
Is that this is the WeQ?
I think that
there's
two
things.
Oh, that's the
scoping meeting for
Thursday.
Different one.
Public Works.
Public Works open out.
Sorry, when's the meeting?
Wednesday.
Wednesday at 6 p.m.
Yeah. Public Works is Thursday. Friday, I don't know what you're going to do.
It does say 5. It should say 6.
Okay, on my carpet.
City
clerk.
6 p.m.
What does it say? It says on the future agenda. It says 5.
Oh.
No, you're fine.
All right, fine. City clerk.
Nothing.
Public Works. Police had to leave because he had a meeting. So with that, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned. Thank you, counsel.
Sam, did you get my, Sam? I would love to listen.